talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
How are my little crackers today?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Bean. I just want to say that I don't know. You guys rock. And I love you guys. Not in a gay way.
The Los Angeles Lakers won back-to-back titles this year. Let's give it up for the hometown Lakers. The Clippers also got pretty deep into the playoffs, but then they just couldn't watch anymore.
Hello, I'm Keanu Reeves. Thank you. Thank you. Most of you know me for my many great action films. Speed, The Matrix trilogies, The Matrix, Matrix Reloaded, Matrix Revolutions, and The Day the Earth Stood Still.
It's time for me to bend over and receive my destiny.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Holla at yourself.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Rape me.
That's my mom, dude.
Roll another one.
Why you think I'm on Wiggy Bone, but I'm
just like the other one.
This isn't funny. I don't talk
this
like that.
Seems to be about to quit.
I don't know what's happening.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
But I don't go in for these backdoor shenanigans.
Roll another one.
Buy your own damn fries.
Nope.
Just like the other one.
So what happens when we go out to a party with some sisters, huh?
Loving it.
I don't have another cent.
Do you smoke a lot of pot?
Medicinal now.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, our next stop's the Nut Hut.
Just pass it around.
You sound like an unbelievable douche.
Thank you for sharing.
I'll just pass it on down.
And now.
What you talking about, Willis? Don't ever say that to me again.
Our feature presentation.
That will be easy enough.
Yes.
Done. Done and done. No danger.
Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's an all-new show for a Friday morning.
And it's time for your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number to get on the air for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew for a Friday. I see that Dewan A. Johnson of Los Angeles, California is already on.
Huh?
So if you don't want to hear Dewan, you might
how
have to call right
you?
Now. I'm saying go ahead and call now if you don't want to hear
and
Dewan.
And I'm saying how dare you.
Look, did I tell you guys, you know my manslave, Marty?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you that his wife ran over their dog the other day?
No.
This was crazy. He was at my house and his phone rang and he said, I gotta go. Lori just ran over Charlie.
Oh.
And the dog was just laying out in the driveway like dogs do. And she backed up over the dog and one tire went right over the dog's chest and you know, completely over the dog. And that hurt. And he's 100% fine.
What?
No damage whatsoever. And she drives like a mini SUV. I don't know what kind of car it is, but like an RAV or one of those kind of cars.
How big is Charlie?
Charlie's big. Charlie's a big dog. He's, I don't know what he is. He's a golden retriever or something like that.
What's
he's
he made
a
of? Dog.
I don't know. I mean, it looked like he had a little bit of road rash, you know, maybe. I mean, you could definitely tell he had been run over, but he didn't break any bones. He didn't rupture any organs. It didn't cause any internal bleeding. They took him to the hospital. You know, they took him to the vet right away and, you know, worked with him, and he was fine. I mean, he was pretty sore. It took a couple days for him to be up and walking around.
He's glaring at her for a few days.
imagine how bad she felt, too, by the way, because, you know, you kind of get a visual on where all your dogs are, and then you drive. But somehow just that's the way it worked out that day. But he's totally fine, which is just crazy. And he's had some alignment problems. He's got some trouble, you know, as a bigger, older dog. He's had some trouble with his bones and stuff.
Right.
walking better than he did before he got run over
by
a car. He
was fixed.
It improved him.
He's more intelligent now?
No,
he speaks different languages?
No, I'm just saying he used to have a lot of trouble like turning his head and stuff like that. Now, free range of motion. Couldn't be doing any better.
That's unbelievable.
How does that happen?
What a crazy story to run over your dog and have him be okay, though.
Ma'am, I don't know how to tell you this, but you fixed everything that was wrong with him.
And the only reason I thought of that, I had forgotten to tell you about that, is that story in Huntington Beach yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw it, about that woman who tried to run over her fiancé three times.
No,
I
didn't.
Run over with a car and then got into, and then neighbors came and pulled the guy out of the driveway. I guess he was knocked down or something. They pulled him out of the driveway. Then she took off into traffic and started trying to run over cops. I mean, it was a crazy chase. So she was arrested and booked with all sorts of felony counts, attempted murder, assault with a deadly weapon, hit and run.
Wow.
65 years old. That's the best part of that story.
She probably didn't even know what she was doing.
I don't know. A 65-year-old woman in Huntington Beach tried to run over everybody in the world. Because that'll solve all your problems. Just run everybody over. So
she needs to meet Mel Gibson.
They'd be perfect together.
Yes, they would.
And take a stroll through the Rose Garden.
So crazy stories involving people and animals being run over. What's up with that?
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
All right. Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right, get on the air, get a Kevin and Bean t-shirt. Why don't we start with, let's start with Esteban, who has news for Ralph and maybe one other person listening. But Esteban seems very, very excited about it, so we welcome him to the Kevin and Bean Show on line 3. Hey, what's going on, man?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's happening?
Hey, so did you hear about, for the Green Lantern movie, that Ryan Reynolds is not wearing a Green Lantern costume, but it's all going to be completely CGI?
I did not hear that, as I am heterosexual.
Well, I'm just saying, because, like, you know, I've seen all these, like, superhero documentaries where, like, they talk about, like, none of the actors, like, from, like, Hugh Jackman to Tobey Maguire, they never get into, like, the superhero until they finally have that rush of being into the costume and all.
Right.
Know? Oh, like, interesting.
So they're just going to CGI on it. They're just going to put CGI over whatever he's wearing?
Yeah, he's just wearing, like, one of those gray suits with, like, all the dots on it, and it's just going to be all CGI.
Hmm.
Now, do you have, since you have a lot of information on this, is there something in particular about the Green Lantern costume that makes it difficult just for them to make a costume that he can wear?
Well, I heard it's because they want to make the costume like an alien fabric, but I always believe, like, you know, a great great special effect is like a combination of traditional special effects and CGI, so I don't know, why couldn't they just do that?
Ralph has joined us. Yes, Ralph.
Oh, Bean.
What
he doesn't know about Green Lantern? I'll
everything.
Tell you.
I don't know about Green Lantern is everything in the world.
The thing is, his costume is a construct from the green energy from his power ring. So in essence, when he's wearing the costume, it is an extension of the energy that comes from the power battery and his power ring. So they could CGI this and make it look like it is a construct of energy wrapped around his body, and that would be in line with the mythos.
And then if he runs into the color yellow. Well, all hell breaks loose.
Well, he does have a weakness to the color yellow. Yes, that's true. Right. But I'm glad Kevin finally got it, because usually he confuses that with the Green Goblin or something else.
I thought I was saying it wrong.
No, you said it right.
So you're not at all concerned that the costume is totally CGI. In fact, that's what you were hoping for.
I wasn't hoping for it, but it makes perfect sense. It'll certainly play with the theme of the character.
So, Esteban, what we're telling you is it's all right.
Thank
it's all
God.
Good, Esteban.
You're going to be good.
Thanks
for the call.
I don't care for how they designed it, though. It doesn't look all that much like the costume from the comic books, which I was really hoping for, because it's one of the coolest costumes in comic books.
That's
you know what I'm saying? But the mask looks good. The mask looks really good.
Thank God.
Yeah.
The mask doesn't look good. I'm out.
That's iconic, that Green Lantern.
Yeah, man. I'm so used to that one.
You know.
Yeah.
You know. Tell me.
You know.
Sure.
And then he's got the lantern that he carries and stuff.
He does. He does carry a lantern. It's his power battery. That's how he recharges his ring every 24 hours. He has to say the oath, of course.
Bean thought it was wrong, too.
I think we have to, I think we're going to have to take some time to rank the lamest
brightest day
superheroes.
Or blackest night. Yeah. No evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light!
When he shoots his green arrows, does he have to put down the lantern?
That is Green Lantern's friend Green Arrow, which is a different superhero. Although they did share a comic book
CGI?
For an extensive part during the 70s. Of course, Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams were responsible for that.
Yeah, you don't have to tell us. That's ridiculous.
Doug, I can't wait for Comic-Con!
Yeah.
How about Doug on line one? He's got a happy, happy story to help us change topics here. Doug, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby Bill?
What's going on?
What it do?
Hey, so I have this Dalmatian and she's deaf, and we live on 6 acres, so our driveway is about 200 yards long, and there's bushes going up along it, so you can't really see like around corners and stuff. And I drive a full size truck, and
to make a long story short,
what's that?
To make a long story short.
Yeah, to make a long story short, I ran over my dog.
There you go.
Why not lead with "I ran over my dog"? Why do we need the layout of your property?
He wants you to know it's not his fault.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a corner, a blind corner, right. and his dog's deaf.
And his dog's deaf.
This is all. Property. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault.
No one was going to come to your house and accuse you. You're the one who chose to call us.
All right. So you ran over the dog with your car.
With a big truck.
What happened to it?
Absolutely nothing. I ran over it so hard that it pooped itself, and we took it to the vet to get x-rays, and there was nothing wrong with the dog. There's no broken bones, no fractures, or anything.
Huh. There you go. Yeah, that is the pooping yourself. That is part of what happens, I found out, when your dog gets run over. Understandably. I mean, because your stomach and abdomen and everything like that is just squashed.
Yeah, I would guess that's true of humans as well, but
probably
never thought of it.
All right, well-told story, Doug. Thank you. Let's try one more. Duane, do we have time for Duane Johnson, Los Angeles, California? Okay. Hey, Duane, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Duane.
What's happening, Duane?
How you been?
Good. We've been good.
Yeah, I'd like to sing happy birthday to the 90210 actress Annalyn McCord.
Annalyn McCord.
Okay, we're going to let you do that, Duane. But before you do that, because then we're going to be out of time, we need you to back away from the Twitter for a little while.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you're tweeting like 1,000 times a day about your friends Jess and Laura, and you need to give them some space. Remember, like the policeman told you?
Yes.
All right. Okay. All right, let's hear your happy birthday. Less of that. Let's hear your happy birthday for Annalyn.
Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Miss Annalyn McCord. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Annalyn.
There
and I
you
hope
go.
You will listen to the band Carney. And right. I know you on the 790210 recording.
Right.
Okay.
Right. All right, Duane.
There you go. Mission accomplished, Duane. You can go to bed now, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling, buddy. See you later.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Kill Whitey.
I'm sorry?
Just kill Whitey. You know, the usual.
Ralph got a chance to interview Leonardo DiCaprio.
What?
About a movie that's coming out today called Inception that is getting nothing but rave reviews.
Yes.
So we'll have that for you on today's show along with the Movie Beat.
Oh, Kevin and Bean aren't qualified to talk to Leonardo DiCaprio. Too big a star
correct.
For us.
That's
I see.
Correct.
That is correct.
I get it now. I understand. I think he requested that we not be on it. Adam Carolla on the program as it is Friday.
Yeah.
We have Joe Manganiello.
Okay.
Oh, he or she is good.
From True Blood.
Ah.
Very excited about that show. That show's so great. Olivia Munn will be on the program today.
Hey.
Rob Dyrdek will be on the show today talking about Fantasy Factory.
Great.
And Double Rainbow Guy, Bear, is going to be on the show today.
That's great.
Crazy amount of show.
Yeah, it's too much. So we need to take a break. We'll get right back with the Showbiz Beat in a second on the Kevin.
It is Friday, maybe the biggest Kevin and Bean show in a long time. Double Rainbow Guy next hour. Rob Dyrdek talking about the Fantasy Factory's return. And Ralph Garman, you talked to Leonardo DiCaprio this week. We're going to hear that interview today.
I had a little chat with my buddy Leo.
How about that?
We're buddies Leo now, yeah. We're buddies.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did you hang out after the
that
interview?
That was on him. I wasn't me. He started it.
Right.
He called me buddy. He called me buddy, so I assume we're buddies.
Right. Well,
did
then
you
are.
Hang out after the interview? Go for coffee?
Yes.
So no.
All right. Went to a cyber cafe because we were on the phone.
All of that straight ahead on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for a look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph. What's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz News, I do want to congratulate Psycho Mike.
Why?
Because he's finally got his ideal vehicle that he can buy.
Oh, excellent.
Colorado man has invented a car that doubles as a toilet. No longer will Psycho Mike have to deal with the fear of the fear.
That's great.
Wow.
So you drive on a toilet seat.
Wow.
As you're driving, if you feel the need for speed, you can just unleash.
Awesome.
And you don't have to pull over. It's all one-stop shopping there.
What kind of problems did that guy have to get to that point?
Apparently, he was tired of Psycho Mike coming to his parents' house and unleashing on the lawn.
The fear.
The fear.
Yeah.
That's something.
It boasts also a magazine rack and a holder for six full toilet paper rolls.
You know, instead of cup holders, you need toilet paper rolls.
Yeah. Does he go out? Is he at home watching TV and then goes outside to go to the bathroom in the truck?
I'm thinking if he's inside, he's fine. But he's out there on the road, on the highway.
Sounds pretty nice. That's all I'm saying.
You got no issues. By the way, the passenger seat is also a toilet. So.
Good. You can go together.
Wow.
You got that going for you.
Wow.
You going? Yeah. You? Yeah, me too.
Some real problems in that
quite
family.
The road trip with Psycho Mike, whoever he's traveling with. All right, let's get to showbiz news, shall we? Auditions start today, Kevin, for season 10 of American Idol.
Mm. Woo! Oh, you've got to be kidding. This is still happening?
They're lining up in Nashville as we speak.
Oh.
Woo!
Have they announced a replacement for Simon
They
yet?
Have not. That's what everyone's buzzing about, because apparently the auditions will begin with just Randy and Kara and Ellen. And then they're going to have to wait who they add as they get closer to season 10, which will be months from now, but still.
So even the auditions section is going to blow then.
That's right. Can you imagine those three?
Wow. Boring! I can't. I'm surprised they didn't find a replacement before they started this audition process. So that person, whoever he or she is, could be involved.
I'm guessing they're locked into a hard schedule in terms of when they have to start airing the next season.
Yeah.
And negotiations for whomever they may be talking with aren't in place yet, so they got to do what they got to do.
The early ones aren't as much about the judges either. I mean, it's about the crazy, crazy people.
And last season, Ellen wasn't even in place yet.
Yeah, that's
right.
For the audition, so it's not unheard of that they do that. But
I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to it.
I'm not sure if I can get back on board the American Idol Express.
Glad to hear it.
I see the point.
Let's move on.
Yeah. If you think you are a friend of Pink's on Twitter... Pink
thinks he's a friend of everyone on Twitter.
I don't follow Pink, but what's she doing?
You may want to look into it, because apparently she has announced that she's got a lot of Pink impersonators lurking around.
Uh-oh.
Okay, explain the Pink.
The Twitterverse, and she wants to make sure that you're talking to the real Pink.
Okay. Me too.
Do a little research and, you know, suss out the real Pink. That's
How do you do
saying.
That?
Yeah.
Well, you may know from the tweet she sent yesterday, when she was doing a concert in Nuremberg, Germany,
mm-hmm.
and she was doing that stunt where she suspended from that harness, doing that spin thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the buckle came loose, and she went plummeting to the stage, hitting a steel embankment.
Oh, no.
And she was rushed to the hospital.
That seems bad.
She was tweeting from the ambulance. Hope it looked cool, she said to her fans. Sorry the concert was called short.
Huh.
Apparently, they rushed to the hospital, did x-rays and everything. Yeah, she said no broken bones, but she is sore all over, as you can imagine, when she dropped to the stage and hit a steel barricade.
Ouch.
So if you got that tweet, you're probably...
following the right one?
You're right with the real Pink.
Her verified Twitter name is Just Pink, by the way. So if there's something fancier than that, it's not the
is
real
it
one.
Is it Just Pink, or
nope.
is it Pink?
Pink.
All right.
How do you know they're Pink?
Speaking of social media, congratulations to Starbucks. They have become the first brand to clear the 10 million fan mark on Facebook.
Wow.
Biggest brand on Facebook is Starbucks. Because you can imagine, because every time I go to Starbucks, everybody's on a computer in there on their laptop. So
right.
Computers and Starbucks go hand in hand, I guess.
But what's the advantage to being friends with Starbucks on Facebook? What do you get?
Ah, you find out first when they have a new flavor.
Okay.
It's Spiced Pumpkin Month. Come get a latte. See? How would you know that, unless you were a fan?
They'd probably announce it, put out a press release like an hour later.
Oh.
That's okay. How.
Never mind.
Hey, is it really Spice Pumpkin Month? Because that is good news.
Man.
I will kick you
Or were you
right,
making that up? Because right I will go to Starbucks next. Today and get me a Spice Pumpkin, if that's true.
I will stick a Spiced Pumpkin right.
Yeah.
Coke and Skittles are the next biggest brand names on Facebook in terms of fandom. They've only got like 6.5 each. Meanwhile, Starbucks crushes with 10 million. Only Lady Gaga has more fans.
That's so interesting to me. I was curious about that.
Oh,
I bet you were.
But I would have expected, you know, MTV or somebody to be way bigger than that, you know, on the Facebook. Yeah. That's a surprise to me.
Another day, another Playboy with a celebrity in its pages. And another one we go, not really interested in seeing that.
Uh-oh.
Her name is actress Krista Flanagan. You know her if you are a fan of Mad TV or if you watch the series Mad Men. Apparently, she's only in projects with Mad in the title.
Mad.
She plays on Mad Men, switchboard operator Lois Sadler. You may remember Lois as the woman who was driving the John Deere tractor around the office during the party and ran over the foot of one of the British executives and cut his foot off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who could forget that?
She was that. You were on season one, episode one, Kevin. You're not included. She'll be stripping down and appearing in the pages of Playboy this
hot?
Month.
So not really?
She's attractive.
Yeah.
Okay.
She would not be in the top 20 of women on Mad Men you want to see naked.
No,
I'll tell you that.
That's for sure. And sadly, I'm out of time, but you know I love my lists. I'll be coming back in the next hour with a list of favorite breakfast cereals of the stars from Us Weekly Magazine.
Yes!
So we got that to get through.
Right.
You're going to want to tune in for that. What does Taylor Swift eat in the morning? You don't know. I do.
Kevin does.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Stuart Copeland, legendary drummer of the band The Police. Is 58 years old today. One of Kevin's favorites, dancer Michael Flatley, who brought you The Lord of the Dance and The River Dance. He is 52 years old. Actress Phoebe Cates celebrates her 47th birthday. And maybe you haven't seen her lately because she doesn't work all that much, but she is still hot.
Yep.
Actor Will Ferrell, I'm not familiar with his work, but he is 43 years old today. Corey Feldman celebrates his 39th birthday. Jackass star Chris Pontius is 36. And as we heard from our regular listener, Duane A. Johnson from Los Angeles, California, Anna Lynn McCord celebrates her 23rd birthday as well. Happy birthday to you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
About 20 minutes away from the double rainbow guy, by the way. We're going to talk to Yosemite Bear himself. Do you think he's on the bong preparing for his interview now? Or you think he waits till he's got his work out of the way and then he'll get stoned? Or what's the deal with that dude?
He says he was sober.
Get his work out of the way. What work do you think this guy has?
Talking to us. Talking to us. By the way, I've been doing the research on the double rainbow guy. He has been living on less than $5,000 a year for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that.
I don't know.
When your diet consists mainly of bark and rocks and moss and you're drinking out of a stream, your overhead's kind of low.
But we'll talk to him about how he's got some money coming in now thanks to the Auto-Tune song, which is available for sale on iTunes now.
Is that right?
Big money. Yes, it's turning into a hit single. Yes,
right.
It is. So anyway, that's coming up in about 20 minutes or so from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's talk about our man Bean, who has Asperger's syndrome. It's a form of autism. A highly functioning human being can be super intelligent, but has really no clue, like, if the people he's talking to have any interest in what he's saying.
He's unable to gauge their reactions.
Correct.
He just
keeps talking, and he believes that everyone will be interested. So yesterday, Ralph was doing a story about Elle McPherson, and she was talking about the qualities that you should have if you want to become a supermodel. And I just want you to hear the timing of Ralph does the story, then he moves on to a punchline, then he moves on to another punchline, and then Bean, the showbiz killer, comes to a complete halt and goes back to the beginning with a bizarre reference.
She says, there are a lot of pretty girls out there, but the ones that really make it as supermodels have curiosity, natural instinct, and a willingness to learn. That's true. Those supermodels are a bright
bunch.
They
really are.
The big ones?
Most of them come from MIT.
Yes, they are. Super smart. Elle also says it's important to be flexible. Now you're talking. Now you're talking. Yeah. Wear your ankles for earrings.
I don't think that's
that's all right. Right. I got a little carried away.
I appreciate her.
Now, you could hear in the timing that Ralph was done and we were moving on to the next story. It was over.
Because I didn't want to interrupt his flow. So I intentionally waited until he's done.
This certainly wasn't interrupting my flow with this speed bump.
I appreciate her pointing out that curiosity is a fantastic trait, not just in women, but in anyone. That's a trait that I definitely look for in people.
What the hell just happened?
Is that a real sentence?
Yes. I think it makes for a far more interesting person if they are curious about the world around them.
So Bean goes back to curiosity, and he just wants to point out that that's a very important trait. And the reason is because no one cares what Bean has to say.
Yeah.
That's a
thinly veiled slap at us.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Not at all. Not at all. It wasn't intended to be at all.
Everyone who does want to hear what he has to say.
At everyone in the world, because what Bean says hits home with no one. So he really just thinks if people were more curious, then that would be great.
I'd be a god.
Yes. So I think Lisa sums it up the best when she responds.
And we'll listen to all the crap that you spew out every single day.
Bean just wants somebody that doesn't reject him immediately when he starts talking.
I'm just saying it's an attractive quality. That's my only point.
Nobody's curious enough to have to listen to what you have to say.
And the other thing is, Bean doesn't go... He hates people.
Right.
So what?
Because they're not curious enough, I think.
Maybe.
That's why he hates them.
But he's looking for that trait how? By people that come to his house, he wants that trait? I mean, honestly, it's not like he's out there.
When I'm out speed dating, right. One of the things I ask a woman first at the table is, how curious are you before I move on?
Now, we've had many conversations about how light do we want the show to be? How dark do we want the show to be? How many serious topics should we do? And we've had that conversation before. Not really about this particular one, but this is where Bean starts to get kind of on his high horse, and he's taking a direct slap at us.
I know we hate to go deeper than skin deep on this program, but occasionally I think it's worth discussing
stop
something
it.
More serious.
Just stop.
Well, thank God we finally
we got
pulled
to go
back
deeper.
The curtain on the curiosity factor. Thanks. That's where we're starting to really to open up.
I'm getting a little teary-eyed. The idea of just broaching the curiosity topic really is it's a little hard for me.
It has been the Holy Grail.
It is.
I'm afraid of it.
Yeah. So, I'd like to think that Bean was inspired by me talking about the death of my son to talk about curiosity. I think finally he got the guts up to bring up curiosity, the most emotional of all the vague
and taboo,
sort of
really.
Taboo
so we're not,
emotions.
Yeah. We're not good with serious topics. I agree. That is a weakness of our show. But curiosity certainly is at the bottom of the list of serious topics that we need to broach.
Did you guys know that for the first 75 years of this country, the post office was its largest employer? Did you guys realize that?
See, that's what Bean wants anyone that cares about stuff like that. We're not it. Neither is anyone listening.
That fact has satisfied my curiosity. Completely.
Glad to help.
I don't need to hear anything more ever from you.
Maybe the key is that you should be less curious.
I'm curious why you think that. Two great things about Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. One coming up later on is Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Hey.
Right now, though, Ralph Garman joins us for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Hasn't been a great summer for movies. There's been a few good ones here and there, a few sprinkled. Most of them have been animated. Toy Story 3 and Despicable Me have been big surprise hits. However, this is an excellent weekend for moviegoers. You can hardly go wrong this weekend.
Wow.
First of all, here in Los Angeles, AMC Century City continues its showing of Grease the Sing-Along. Come
yes.
on!
Yes!
Oh, I might put on my T-Birds jacket and go down and recreate my role as Danny Zuko from my college production of Grease.
Sure, they would all love it.
I will rock that house. The first show, by the way, this weekend is sold out, so you're going to have to look a little deeper if you would like to attend this.
Yeah.
That's how popular this is.
You enjoy that.
Also opening this weekend, Winnebago Man. How long are we waiting for this film to come out here in Los Angeles?
This guy's so funny.
Jack Repney is his name. If you have been on the internet, you've probably seen his hilarious Winnebago sales video outtakes where he just can't get anything right. And he gets very angry at himself. And so, while the rest of us look at that and say, oh, that's funny, these guys said, let's go find this guy. And it's a documentary about hunting him down and then asking him what was going on during those outtakes. It's opening here in Los Angeles this weekend. And I want to give you a heads up. If you go to the screenings Friday and tonight and Saturday night at the Lemley Sunset 5, Jack Repney himself apparently is going to be there and host a live Q&A.
Wow.
So you get to meet the Winnebago Man himself.
Will he scream at you?
I hope so. Here's a scene from Winnebago Man, the documentary, where the filmmakers are finally talking to their hero, Jack Repney.
But I don't understand. The movie's about me finding
Don't. Come on. Don't tell me.
You know what? This is about who you are and what your past experiences have been.
No.
And what you've learned.
Oh, well, sure. You want to talk about me?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm trying to talk about you.
Yeah.
And you're not letting me talk.
Well, I don't.
Why not? That's what I'm asking you. That's what I don't understand.
Ben, if you don't like it, pack up. Get the out.
Right.
I love him.
Jack hasn't lost a step.
He's so
He's
angry.
The most unhappy person ever.
Goddamn flies.
That's my favorite line ever. Ralph, how long till you turn into that dude?
I'm there already. You kidding me?
Are you?
Sorcerer's Apprentice also opens this weekend. Nicolas Cage, Jay Baruchel, Monica Bellucci also in the film.
Ooh.
Alfred Molina plays a great villainess. I got a chance to see this earlier this week. It reunites Nicolas Cage with his national treasure mastermind, John Turteltaub, who's the director of this film. And I got to tell you, this is a very entertaining kids' film.
Is that right?
It is. Maybe I went in with my expectations a little on the low side. But I was blown away about how much fun this movie is. Nicolas Cage is perfectly cast as a sorcerer because he can chew all the scenery he wants and be as out there as he wants, and it plays perfectly to sort of his quirky persona.
He's one of those guys that if he's cast in the wrong role is the disaster.
It's a sore thumb. Yeah. Just sticks right up. Yeah. Although I always find him fascinating to watch. Even when he's being bad, he's interesting at least. He's not dull to me ever as a performer, and he's really good in this, who plays, as you can imagine, a sorcerer who used to work with Merlin from the Camelot legend, who has to find a young man to take over Merlin's job as the world's greatest sorcerer, and that's where Jay Baruchel comes in as a college student who, unbeknownst to him, is the successor to Merlin the sorcerer, and they have to battle, of course, the evil sorcerers. It's just a great time filled with action. The effects are amazing. And the chemistry between Nick Cage and Jay Baruchel is really, really strong. Here's a scene from the film where Nicolas Cage as Balthazar Blake, the sorcerer, is trying to teach Dave the basics of magic.
Making fire. What causes molecules to heat up?
They vibrate.
Everything we see is in a constant state of vibration, thus the illusion of solidity. But how do we take that which appears solid and have it burst into flames? We will the vibrations to go faster. Step one, clear your mind. Step two, see the molecules. Step three, make them shake. Oh. Got it?
No, I definitely don't got it.
Trust the ring, Dave.
There's a meter maid there who's handing out a ticket. Nicolas Cage looks at it and makes it burst into flames in her hands. The audience went crazy because everyone hates meter maids. Very entertaining film. I think you'll like it, especially if you have kids. And lastly, Inception opened at midnight last night. It opens today everywhere. And I had a chance to see this film as well. I know it's very
odd.
What
is going on?
In the movie beat, you don't see the movies.
I know, but accidentally once in a while, I stumble into a theater, and it's like, hey, wait a minute. This is a movie. I'm watching it. Christopher Nolan, the genius behind Batman Begins and The Dark Knight and Memento. Just a long, long string of strong films from Christopher Nolan. He writes and directs this story, which is hard to put in a nutshell, which is the best thing I can say about this film. It is a wild metaphysical drama on one hand and also a kick-ass action film on the other. I referred to this when I was talking to friends about it as imagine Mission Impossible on acid. It's a caper film, but at the same time it deals with levels of fantasy and reality and the dream world. And Leonardo DiCaprio plays a guy whose job it is to go into your dreams and extract information from them, basically for industrial espionage. He can go inside a CEO's mind while he's sleeping, invade his dreams, become part of his dreams, and then subconsciously pull out information that other people can use.
Ooh, cool.
He's an extractor. That's what he does.
So he's a bad guy?
He's not. It's just what he does for a living.
Okay.
This technology has been developed by the military. He used to work for them. It's a long story, but things kind of went wrong. Now, in order to make a living, this is what he does.
Okay.
He's an industrial spy. So what they want, Ken Watanabe is also brilliant in this film, asks him to do is to place some information inside someone's mind, which has never been done before.
Okay.
And so that's what he takes upon himself to try to create this scenario. And he has to gather a team. It's like a caper movie. He gathers a team of people, a chemist who can build the certain chemicals he needs, and a guy who can construct the dream as he needs it to be. And he puts this team together for this mission, basically. But at the same time, he's dealing with his own personal demons, and they have to go several levels into the subconscious in this film.
Okay.
So they put the mark under, and they give him a dream. But in that dream, they have to put him under again and go into another dream inside that dream. And then from that dream, they go into yet still another dream.
Well, I understand this.
So at any one moment, four different storylines are happening at the same time in this film.
But
it is very dense.
Well, I understand
this. Kevin will have an enormous number of questions when he comes out of this film. The rest of us will enjoy it enormously because they do a real good job of keeping it clean and explaining what's going on. It sounds like it would be complex and sort of hard to wade through, but it really is a very clean, strong narrative. And I'll tell you, there are effects in this film. And they're actually real effects. It's not CGI. Things happen in this film, and I'm not going to spoil anything for you, that you have never seen in any film before ever.
Wow.
Long
That's
sequences
hard to say.
Happen, and you will be blown away by what happens in this film. And your mind will start to melt. I promise you that. It is a remarkable film. It's original. It is arresting. It is action-packed. At the same time, it's very thoughtful. It is an amazing achievement. It's one of my favorite films, maybe of all time.
Wow.
Can't say enough good things about it.
And what a cast, by the way.
Yeah, can't beat it. Here's a scene from Inception. Leonardo DiCaprio plays the leader of this team that's going into the mind of this industrial CEO. And he has to bring in Ellen Page, who plays Adriani, who is a she has a gift for architecture. Okay. And so what they want her to do is to build an entire dream world that they can bring this guy into. She has to construct everything that they're going to be imagining in this dream sequence. And here he is teaching her about how the dream world works.
Let me ask you a question. You never really remember the beginning of a dream, do you? You always wind up right in the middle of what's going on.
I guess, yeah.
So how did we end up here?
Well, we just came from the,
Think about it, Ariadne. How did you get here? Where are you right now?
We're dreaming.
You're actually in the middle of the workshop right now, sleeping. This is your first lesson in shared dreaming. Stay calm.
They're sitting at a cafe, and she doesn't even realize it, but he has already put her under, and they're talking in a dream. They can share each other's subconscious at the same time.
Wow.
And then while they're at that cafe, suddenly things start to go insane, and she realizes that these kind of things can only happen in a dream. It is an amazing film. Early on, when I was watching, I was like, wow, I'm not quite sure I get this. Is this taking itself a little too seriously? What is the basis of this film? But it is a thing you have to really pay attention, and as it unfolds, you find yourself more and more and more engrossed that by the end, you're sitting on the edge of your seat waiting for the ending of this film. It's exceptional.
Now, you got a chance yesterday to talk to Leonardo DiCaprio.
I did. I got a hold of him on the phone, and we had a little conversation about those aspects of this film, about the special effects, about director Chris Nolan. It was really a fun conversation.
And we'll give that to you an hour from now.
Yeah, next hour we'll play a piece of that.
There you go.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's interview with Leonardo DiCaprio coming up next hour for you. Adam Carolla will be on the program today, and Rob Dyrdek talks about the new season of Fantasy Factory. It's hard to imagine, Kevin, that 2 weeks ago today, you had never heard of the Double Rainbow Guy. Neither
I know.
Did I.
I know.
Neither did anybody.
Now he's my hero.
I mean, how fast has, forget him, how fast has our life changed? How much has our life been enriched by this video, which has now been seen more than 4 million times on Yosemite Bear's YouTube channel? Here's a clip.
It's just him looking at a rainbow.
Whoa, that's a full rainbow. All the way. Double rainbow. Oh, my God. Whoa! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Woo! Wow! Woo!
If you get that excited by a rainbow, imagine when you see a stripper. Can you picture what Paul Vasquez's head must do when he sees naked women?
Oh my God, that was the best thing I've ever heard.
Well, the best thing I've ever heard too, and I want to party with that dude, and he joins us on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Bear?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Very good, thank you.
We're so happy to yes.
Know that out of all the 50 interviews I've done in these past 2 weeks, you are the only guys I've asked to do an interview for.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because I was born and raised in L.A., and I lived there till 1985 when I came to live in Yosemite, and I was always big, big fans of you guys.
Who knew? That's fantastic.
About that? That's very, very nice of you. And by the way, I don't know if you are aware of this, Bear, but Jimmy Kimmel, late night talk show host Jimmy Kimmel, who you give the credit for making your video blow up so big, worked on the Kevin and Bean Show for 5 years. He was our sports guy.
Of course, I was living down there. I'm big fans of Jimmy and Adam and Dr. Groove.
All right,
too. Wow, you're our brother, man. This is an awesome reunion to have you on. So how did Jimmy find your video? Because that's how I found out about it over the 4th of July weekend. Do you know?
Yeah, I went on his show. I went to see your show. I just had tickets, and I was in the audience, and I just shouted, "I love Jimmy Kimmel," and the announcer guy brought me out, and I got to talk to Jimmy, and then the announcer called me his boyfriend, and I came back the next time with a shirt that said, "I love Jimmy Kimmel," and he brought me out, and they put the camera on, and I recorded that, and I put that on my YouTube page, and someone must have found that, and they said, "Well, let's look at this guy's videos." And so they saw my videos, and they said, "Well, that's gold."
How about that?
It is gold, and you're behind the camera, and you're looking at a rainbow, and it is a double rainbow in its defense. But
right, yeah, and that's my front yard.
Okay, fine.
Beautiful. Wow, nice digs you got there.
No kidding.
But here's my point. My point is, I don't know that I've ever been that excited about anything ever.
Well, because you know what? That was the eye of God.
All right.
Well, of course it was. We had, of course, we know that, Bear. And you were on just nothing but rainbow power, as I understand. You know, no drugs, no alcohol.
I've talked about this over and over. And yeah, but we don't. There's another rainbow video on my YouTube page called Giant Intense Rainbow, where I was high. And you know, you can tell that me and my son had just finished smoking a joint. So you know, I fully admit to being high on that one, but on this one, absolutely not. I was not anything. I was home alone. It was, you know, in the early afternoon, and I was completely on the spirit of the Holy Ghost. That's
now,
exactly
how about
what
that?
It was.
Now, Bear, that just seems impossible. I mean, that's why people keep asking, because.
Yeah.
For all of the rest of us, it has to be acid or mushrooms or something.
That's because people don't know how to connect to spirit. That's the only way that they know how to get to that level is through drugs.
Correct.
Sex and drugs. But when you live on the side of a mountain, like I do, and you're in Mother Nature all the time, and you don't have to go to work, and you don't have to drive, and you don't live in the city. See, I came from L.A.
Right.
And I came to live in nature, and I live with me.
Right.
So, you know, I do whatever I want. I have whatever emotions I want. I don't care. So, you know what? I just let it all out.
I hear you.
That's beautiful.
You
know what I mean? That's a beautiful thing.
When I see a giant rainbow, and it feels, you know what? That wasn't just a double or a triple rainbow. That whole thing filled in like a giant disc of color. It was thousands of those trees on the bottom of that video. Those are 100-foot tall ponderosa pine trees. That thing was thousands of feet high.
Right.
And you know what? And so it seemed to me like
and
I
you...
was looking at the eye of God, and that made me fall down and say I was looking at God. That's why I was so excited.
But I'm saying you were thousands of feet high.
Look, I don't know. You know, you live in the city and you got to be exposed to all that. I'm out in nature all the time.
I hear you. Hey, listen, I admire that. I wish I could get to that point without drugs.
Yeah, I respect
nice.
How. I
really
how,
know. And then when you do drugs, it's even that much better.
I love how your mind is open enough to accept that, to let all that in, and I can understand how that would be overwhelming. It's a very beautiful thing to see. I totally get that. Now you have this spread that you're living on out there on the side of the Yosemite Mountain is sounds amazing, but you have internet access out there?
Oh yeah, you know people. I've had people. I host people through Couchsurfers from all over the world here, and they're like, "Wow, how do you live here on the side of this mountain with no neighbors, and you have DSL and satellite TV and electricity? You know, you have the best of both worlds. How are you so lucky? You know, well."
I don't know what that means.
You know,
okay.
Go look at the rest of my videos.
All right.
It's going to blow you away. What? I have beautiful young women from all over the world come and work on my farm.
All right.
Go check it out. It's going to blow your mind.
Now, Bear, how do you make a living? How do you make money?
I'm a farmer and a photographer and an artist, you know, and a really poor guy.
And a really poor guy. Okay.
I want to be Bear. I think Bear has the perfect life. This sounds amazing.
I'm so blessed. God loves me.
Now, is it true that the remix of your song is available on iTunes now?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the guy who made it generously offered to split the proceeds with me, and so I'm making money for the first time in like 6 years.
Wow.
these are the Auto-Tune the News guys, and we played a lot of their stuff here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's a clip of what they did when they heard the Double Rainbow video, and they've turned it into what I think is going to be a big hit single. Listen up.
Whoa, that's a full rainbow all the way. Double rainbow, oh my god, double rainbow, it's a double rainbow all the way, damn, it's a double rainbow all the way, damn, oh my god, what does this mean, it's so bright, so vivid, double rainbow, it's so dense,
oh, that's great,
what does this mean?
That's well worth 99 cents. Bear, you what an amazing story you have. Now, do you think that this is some sort of blessing? I know you sound like you're a religious person. Is this God stepping in and giving you a hand with this double rainbow and the way everything's blown up for you?
I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. You know, I'm calling myself a pot-smoking prophet.
A pot-smoking prophet. We don't have enough of those.
Well, you got one here.
All right.
You know, so that's not religious right there. I'm spiritual.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
So, you know, I always knew this was coming, but that song, me having a hit on iTunes, that one caught me by surprise.
That may have been a surprise, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Unbelievable. Well, please keep making those videos and keep making the world happy and keep living that great life that you live out there, dude.
There's a ton of awesome. Yeah, go check out my YouTube page and YosemiteBear.net. Yeah, that's where you can get my shirts.
There you go. YosemiteBear.net.
All right.
Paul Vasquez, a.k.a. Hungry Bear, thanks for joining us on the Kevin DeBean Show, man. Great to talk to you.
I love all you guys.
Thank you, man.
Oh, we got way too much show today. Rob Dyrdek joins us in minutes talking about the Fantasy Factory. Olivia Munn next hour. And hey, Ralph's sit down with Leonardo DiCaprio. Don't you know? Talk about a guy who deserves to win an Oscar at some point, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He's great in everything.
He's unbelievable. Love that dude. Anyway, all that straight ahead here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Time now for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels. He's a demon and he's gonna be racing after someone. He's gaining on you, so you better look alive. He's busy revving with the powerful Mach 5. And when the odds are against him and there's dangerous work to do, you bet your life, Speed Racer, we'll see it through. Go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go!
Oh, Speed Racer.
We were looking for a showbiz beat, I think.
This is the most important showbiz news of the day.
Right.
Speed Racer's voice, Peter Fernandez, the actor, best known as the voice of Speed Racer.
Right.
Has passed away.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No!
Peter, of course,
was
a successful stage and radio star in the 40s before he got into animation and... did a lot of Japanese anime shows, and Speed Racer, of course, is his biggest legacy. But he also worked in Astro Boy, Gigantor, Marine Boy, Star Blazers.
Sure.
Wow.
He will be missed. Peter Fernandez was...
How much will he be missed?
A lot.
God. Seems like maybe his best work was behind it. That's all I'm suggesting.
You heartless prick. Did you guys see the new Sharktopus trailer?
I did not.
Yes, no.
Yes. Trailer for the sci-fi epic... Sharktopus.
I did not.
And by sci-fi, I mean S-Y-F-Y.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Sci-fi channel, Sharktopus.
I'm so excited, Ralph. It looks so awesome.
It is the greatest trailer for any movie ever that's been trailed.
Really? That's a pretty big claim.
It is awesome. And Eric Roberts is the man.
Eric.
And Sharktopus is the creature.
Okay.
Yep. That's all you need to know. It's on krock.com, kevinandbean.com if you want to check it out.
You should.
It is exceptional, and I couldn't be more excited for Sharktopus.
Now, I hesitate to ask because I know it'll go into the file, but does Eric Roberts still have it, or has his career jumped to Sharktopus?
Ah!
Come on. Yeah. Because there's an expression, jump the shark. Jump the Sharktopus. Oh, keyboard cat. Come on.
I think part of the problem with that was the delivery.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a bad thought.
It wasn't a bad joke, but the delivery was overkill.
If you're going to do that, you have to throw it away.
Yeah.
You think his career has jumped the Sharktopus?
Yes. Yes. File.
Okay. I accept your score.
File.
Is he still good, or has his career jumped the Sharktopus? You don't necessarily want to sell it, Captain Vaudeville, as if you're playing to the 19th row.
May have been a little strong for the material.
By the way, I've seen a promotional pin, a button.
Yeah.
For Sharktopus on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yes.
That says simply, "Damn you, Sharktopus!"
It came from them?
Yeah.
That was your... You made that up!
I know!
You made that up!
I know!
That's awesome!
You know what? If nothing else, when I pass and you do my eulogy on air, you can say he created McFever... And damn you, Sharktopus. And
I was
like, that's it. That's fine. That's fine. That's my career in a nutshell.
That's all you need to
it's
know.
It's okay with me.
Do we have an air date yet for Sharktopus on Sci-Fi?
Sometime this fall. I'm thinking they will announce exactly when it'll air at Comic-Con. I think there will be a Sharktopus presence at Comic-Con. So
you might even be a guest at Comic-Con next year as the cast of Sharktopus.
I might have to go on the Sharktopus panel next year. Yes, I might have to. Me and Eric Roberts.
Can we please
Declan
do...
Declan O'Brien, the director.
Can we please do some sort of a red carpet screening and...
There has been talk with Declan O'Brien, the director, and myself and some people at Sci-Fi. We're going to try to put together at least a screening or a premiere party or something.
Awesome.
Where we can all celebrate.
Oh, I hope you don't get cut out, man.
I'm going this afternoon to record some ADR, as they say in the business.
Which is after...
additional dialogue recording.
Right.
You have to go in there. You go in after you shoot, so you loop your lines in case there was a problem with the audio or the sound or something. You have to go into...
re-record your lines.
So that's a good sign.
So I know. Obviously, if they're re-recording my dialogue, there must be some of me in
there. There better be a close-up of you with your fist in the air shouting, damn you, Sharktopus.
I can't imagine there can't be if they're putting on their damn buttons.
Yeah.
I'm thinking there's got to be somewhere in
and
the movie, right?
Movies with buttons is my other question.
Well, Comic-Con, they do it a ton of it. There's always people handing out buttons and, you know, stuff like that for people to wear, so... It's going to be a good time. All right, let's get to the important stuff. I promised you a list of the breakfast cereals of the stars, and I don't want to renege on that promise.
Right.
It is Us Weekly Magazine. Here you go. Ready? Breakfast cereals of the stars. You ready?
Yes.
Maybe see if you can guess.
All right.
You might be, I think you'll be surprised. Derek Jeter. What do you think Derek Jeter eats in the morning?
Lucky Charms.
No.
Somebody says it as if it was a no-brainer.
No, because...
Lucky Charms.
Wouldn't you think athletes have to be a little
Absolutely.
More careful than that?
Yeah, it'd be grape nuts or something super healthy,
Lucky
I would
Charms,
imagine.
It's not Lucky Charms, but it's not Wheaties? The grape nuts either. No.
Cheerios? No.
Frosted Flakes. He's a Frosted Flakes man.
All right. No, that does surprise me.
Yeah. Annalyn McCord?
Stomach acid.
So nothing?
Yeah, pretty much.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah. That's not bad.
Again, a surprise.
I'd like to give her some Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you know what I mean?
That doesn't make any sense.
No. We don't know what you mean.
Ed Westwick of Gossip Girl.
Oh, come on.
Come on now.
Why do I care what he eats for breakfast?
Wait, we're already down to him. Likes to wake up to Cocoa Puffs every morning. He's a big Cocoa Puffs fan.
Another good choice.
Yeah. Tracy Morgan. Tracy Morgan! What do you think he eats in the morning, Liz?
Something with drugs in it.
Oh, come on.
Oh, how dare you.
No, honestly, Honey Smacks.
Most surprising of everyone on the list, in my opinion, is Tracy Morgan's choice.
Bud Light?
Pounded into flakes. Cornflake.
Cornflakes?
The simple
He's
cornflake.
The healthiest one.
He is the healthiest one on the list. The simple cornflake appeals
oh
to
Oh, my God.
Morgan.
Who cares?
And Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift enjoys her Cheerios.
All right.
So there you go. Breakfast cereals of the stars.
Quite a list.
Thanks to Us Weekly Magazine.
It's breakfast cereals.
Of the stars.
Okay, well.
I think we
they're
should,
just like us, Ralph.
I think we should do a segment every week. Breakfast cereals of the stars. That should become a standard question. We talk all the celebrities we talk to off the air. We should ask them what's their favorite breakfast cereal. We'll take that little snippet and then we'll do a big.
Then we need to set the line of who a star is and who isn't. That's all
I want to know.
I should have asked Leonardo DiCaprio yesterday when I was talking with him what his favorite breakfast cereal.
I want to know what Wheaties thinks about current World Series champion Derek Jeter saying he doesn't eat Wheaties.
He's got big trouble. Today's celebrity birthday is Stuart Copeland of The Police. Is 58 years old today. I've heard he's a Sugar Smacks man.
Is that right?
That's what I've heard. Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance, is 52. Phoebe Cates celebrates her 47th birthday. Will Ferrell is 43 years old. I just found out that I'm hosting the Other Guys panel.
Nice!
Will Ferrell and Marky Mark.
I love that song.
Adam McKay.
Fantastic.
No, The Other Guys is the movie with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. You're thinking of The Good Guys on Fox. Very different. Yeah. But they'll be at Comic-Con next weekend, and we'll be talking to them, so that should be fun. Corey Feldman is 39 years old today. I think he feels a little lost in this birthday.
With no Corey Haim?
With no other Corey.
Mm. Yeah.
Does he feel a little lopsided?
No Michael Jackson and no Corey Haim. It's got to be tough for him.
Wow. Chris Pontius of Jackass turns 36. And Annalyn McCord, who we just found out, likes Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah, how about that?
See?
It's a revelation.
Yeah,
that's water cooler stuff there.
She's 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
How you doing? I'm Rob Dyrdek. I didn't go my senior year of high school and moved to California to pursue professional skateboarding.
I kept messing up and screaming, F-.
These guys started DC Shoes and asked me to come aboard, and that's when I really started getting into shoe design.
I want to say I get extreme all day, every day, because I'm extreme!
I had a skate shop that lasted about 3 months. That was kind of where I first discovered stay out of retail.
If you didn't skateboard, what would you be doing?
I'd say right now I'd have like a full cocaine addiction.
Started a hip-hop label.
I like to bring joy. I live a pretty good life. Being in a position to help others live their dream
is a great position.
Welcome to Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory.
My big thing that I'm in the future going to do is develop a professional skateboarding league. That's my big thing.
Fantasy Factory is back for an all-new Season 3 on MTV Monday nights at 9:30. It's always a pleasure to catch up with a man who just wants to bring joy into the world. That's all Dyrdek's about. Hey, Rob, welcome back to the Kevin Beach Show, my friend. How are you?
Man, I it blows my mind you got a different one every time.
Well, you have so much going on. We got to keep up with you, dude.
No, and now I wonder why my mom asked me yesterday Is it true someone said that you do cocaine?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Well, you
we're saying that.
Here's the thing about Rob. Rob, if you don't watch The Fantasy Factory, he says so many crazy things that it's easy to understand why nobody knows what the hell he's talking about or what's true anymore.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Now, I do have to give you props on the skateboard car. That's what a great idea that was. And I have a clip from the show. This is him trying to describe the car to his cousin.
Put a steel plate on the bottom of a car,
okay,
and set up ramps and ledges and rails and just shoot, grind, lip slide, back smith, like 50-50.
I don't understand.
This is a skateboard car.
A skateboard car.
The car is moving and
yes.
You, that's so cool.
You're driving it on the skateboard track that's built like to bigger standards for.
And then people.
It's awesome.
Do tricks on it.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love that.
Now, Rob.
Sure, like, it doesn't look like much. The big one, like, believe it, it's like jumped 40 feet off the dirt onto like the 100 foot bar in the car. And it. I just felt like, here we go, catastrophic car accident.
Cause well,
like
sure.
Engineered it or figured anything out. Just like,
whoa.
Yeah, you can't say the S word, Rob.
Whoa, high on coffee. Blame it on the coffee.
Is part of the fun of doing this stuff on the MTV show is that you can get them to pay for it?
I would say so, yeah.
I mean,
the reality of it is nor would I have time or probably spend the extra dough if I wasn't filming it for television or put my life in danger if I wasn't looking for the glory of a 9:30 time slot on MTV.
I could see, I didn't know for sure, but I could see that you were kind of scared. It was kind of like, this could go horribly wrong. I hope it doesn't. Here we go.
You want to know what? And that's just, like, people keep saying that to me. Like, normally you're so like, and I'm like, man, I'm scared at all this stuff. Like, I don't know why they just captured it on this one, but it's like, man, everything I've ever done, from Attack by the Shark, racing the horse, jumping the car, the day of, I'm like, this is so stupid.
Yeah.
So dumb.
But I'm stuck now.
But see, that's what we like about you, is you follow up.
Good TV, and then it's like the most thrilling thing ever. You know, that one I was, you always feel a little bit safer inside a car. You know, it's
sure.
Like stuff when you're like, when I got towed into a wave this season, almost drowned. Like that's, and like jockeying the horse and all this other stuff. It's like when your like physical dainty body is exposed, that's when you get kind of sketched out.
Dainty body. So, later this season, Laird Hamilton takes you out to a big wave surf.
Yeah, and like I went out to Hawaii and we waited for big waves because I'd never surfed in my life. So the first time I ever surfed a wave is when I let go of the ski and got tossed into like a 15-foot wave.
Wow. Oh, my God.
No.
See, that's what I like about you is you think this is stupid and then you follow that up with, let's do it.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, on that one I was convinced I was dying. Like, weird signs were happening, and then when I got to the beach, it was pouring rain, and it stopped instantly, and there was this giant rainbow. And I was like, oh my, I'm for sure dying. And then he's such a man, like, you don't know, I can't trust, he's like, oh yeah, you'll do it easy, like, but you don't know when you're getting Superman advice, you know?
Sure, yeah.
Because
he can do it easy, but not you.
And by the way, professional surfers have died on those waves.
Yes.
It was held down for like a minute and a half, and like even he was like, okay, we're done. Like, I had to give up because I couldn't hold my breath anymore. I was like, oh my God, I just have to give up. The struggle was over, and I popped up like right at the
Wow. This is the voice of Rob Dyrdek on the phone with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Fantasy Factory, which is back for Season 3, MTV Monday nights at 9:30. Great guest stars, your friend Danny Way, Ryan Sheckler, The Game is on this year, Pharrell, P-Rod. What are you doing with Travis Barker?
Travis's album comes out at the 27th, so for the season finale of the Fantasy Factory, I had, I did another perform where I had a big charity event, and he came out and performed with Yellow Wolf and the Cool Kids that are on his album, and then he played the drums behind, because I don't know if you guys know or not, but I'm the Jay-Z of jingles.
Oh, we know.
Of course, we know. We know.
For Panasonic. And
I'm the Jay-Z of jingles.
And then that whole episode is all music from his album and all music that he picked.
Awesome. Well, you are living the dream, my friend. Not only is the Fantasy Factory a place that every one of us sees on TV and goes, wow, I sure wish I could live there, but the stuff that you do and the people that you hang with, it just seems like a lot of work, but so much fun to be Rob Dyrdek.
Well, it really, it is both of those.
And it's a ridiculously good show. Fantasy Factory, Season 3, Mondays, 9:30 on MTV. Thank you, Rob. Go back to bed.
God bless all you guys. You know I get up at 6 in the morning.
All right, we'll do it at 6 next time.
Fair enough.
Ralph Garman is in studio. Ralph, you talked to your buddy Leo DiCaprio yesterday from Inception.
Leo, is it?
I called him Leonardo. I figured that was only right.
And we're very excited because we have not heard this yet. But I'm looking forward to it because Inception opens up everywhere today. It promises to be one of the best and one of the biggest movies of the year. So let's check this out.
Shall we talk about Leonardo DiCaprio now?
Nice guy.
Yeah, lovely.
Mama, wake up. You're hiding, huh? I'm the king of the world.
I'm going to take a look out the front door.
No. Told him I'd walk out first and...
I think it's just me and you, and you know what? You're gonna have to catch me yourself.
We thought we were fighting communism, but in the end, it was all about who gets what, you know? Ivory, oil, gold, diamonds. That diamond is my ticket out of this godforsaken continent.
There's more of us coming off these ships every day. 15,000 Irish a week to get all of us together, and we ain't got a gang. We got an army.
They knew everything, all right? There was a leak from the inside. It's real, man. Smoke him out.
Why are you here?
Because I killed my wife.
And why did you do that?
Because she murdered our children. My name's Andrew Latus, and I murdered my wife in the spring of 52.
Leonardo.
Hey.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for taking some time out to talk to us today.
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
Listen, I had a chance to see Inception this week, and I have to say it, and I'm not just saying this because we're talking, it is an extraordinary, exceptional film. You guys must be just incredibly proud about this.
We are. I mean, for me, it's a very rare thing coming from the Hollywood studio system to find a film that is this multi-layered and complex that comes out during the summertime. So I really jumped at the opportunity to not only work on a film of this subject matter, but to do it with Chris Nolan, because he's got a great track record of pulling off highly complex narratives like this and making them emotionally engaging for an audience. So he was absolutely the right man to pull off something that was this sort of daring and this ambitious.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a genius, isn't he? He wrote and directed this thing, and it is it's a remarkable feat.
It is. I think it's everything that he's sort of experienced from working on films like Memento and Insomnia, all the way to The Dark Knight, where he's gotten to take on larger sort of, bigger narratives, things with larger scope, everything that Hollywood has to offer sort of cinematically, and it's a great hybrid of those things, so... This is a culmination of, I think, 8 to 10 years of thought and something, like I said, that was a very, very, very ambitious idea. And he pulled it off with flying colors, I believe.
Yeah, I think at first blush, a lot of people thought this was a metaphysical sort of drama. But in reality, there's a lot of action adventure in this movie, too. It's like Mission Impossible on acid.
Yeah, I suppose you could put it that way. I mean, I don't shy away from the... When I hear, you know, metaphysical or existential, I say, wow, that's... we're going to put that kind of stuff up on screen. That's very hard to accomplish. And, you know, very few filmmakers can pull off that kind of stuff cinematically. But he combined it with this great heist structure.
Yeah.
And it's a group of people performing a heist on the human mind and the human subconscious. And really the whole film exists in four different stages of the human subconscious, and the deeper we go into that dreamscape, the deeper my character also goes into his own psychosis. Yes. Which is a pretty insane concept, but actually works cinematically. It's very different reading a screenplay or talking about it for months and actually seeing the imagery up on screen, because things that you never thought would make sense actually make incredible sense emotionally.
I was wondering about that, because the story is so dense and there are so many layers. When you were first approached to participate in the project, did you have a hard time wrapping your mind around that?
I understood the concept. I understood what he was trying to do. But it really took being able to sit down with Chris for 3 months, and we basically talked every day, all day long at great length about not only what his rules of the dreamscape were and, you know, sort of philosophically what he wanted to pull off, as far as scale and scope of the picture and how the narrative would really drive the audience further and further into this dream world. But I realized that this was the only thing that I needed to do as far as preparation is concerned, was find find an emotional sort of cathartic journey for my character to go in with Chris Nolan through his mind, because there was no real preparation that I could do as far as acting is concerned. And the more we talked about it, the more it made sense, and all of it became very specific and real.
You're right that I think the emotional level is right up there with the visual and the special effects, which is something you rarely see in films. But there are some scenes in this, and not to give anything away, but some of the stuff with Joseph Gordon-Levitt that are unlike anything you've ever seen in any film.
I would definitely agree with that. And the interesting thing about working with Chris again is the fact that he really submerges his actors in those environments. And if you see, you know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt doing a fight sequence on a fully rotating 360-degree hallway, he had Joseph Gordon-Levitt really doing that. And that was basically a Cirque du Soleil type of action sequence that he rehearsed with them for weeks on end, and then they really performed it. And that's what's interesting about working on a Chris Nolan movie. He is a hybrid of the old school meets the new, in the sense that he likes to work on film. Once you're actually on set, it's just sort of him and the cameraman, and then you're fully immersed in incredibly tangible environments as an actor. When we had the Paris sequence where the whole world is imploding around us, we were really there in Paris shooting on at a cafe on the corner, and things were exploding around us. He uses the digital effects world to sort of enhance his vision. It was never a situation where we were directly surrounded all by green screen. There was just moments of that.
And I think as an audience member, it's much more satisfying because you do get a sense that it is really happening. I think somehow the audience can tell, and to see the actors in the actual situation brings it to a whole other level.
That's absolutely correct, and that's because it's the truth. We were really doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I would come to set when I remember going to set in Canada one day and said, "Oh, we're going to be with you after lunch." And I said, "Why?" I said, "Well, Chris has a couple more avalanches that he needs to
to cause."
And I said, "Are you serious?" I said, "Oh, yeah. They do this in the park all the time. So we're performing, you know, we're doing a couple more avalanches, but we should be with you shortly." And that quote just sort of rattled in my brain as something that was completely insane to hear.
Well, it is a remarkably satisfying, exciting, and deeply moving and emotional film. Congratulations. I think it's going to be a smash hit.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
Take care and be well.
You too.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. We just had Leonardo DiCaprio on minutes ago talking about Inception. So Leo opened up for Olivia Munn, our next guest, who joins us on the phone right now. How about that? How are you, Olivia?
Hey, guys. How are you?
You are a lazy, lazy person. You don't do anything. You don't go anywhere.
Look, first of all, I wrote and directed Inception. Did Leo tell you that?
He gave the credit to another dude, so I'm surprised to hear that.
So, Leo.
Olivia, by the way, was up until about 5 hours ago signing copies of her book in Dallas, her new book, Suck It, Wonder Woman, The Misadventures of a Hollywood Geek, that's available in stores now. How many people showed up at that thing in Dallas last night?
It was over 300 people there last night.
And how many of those people really care about the book, and how many of them just want to see a hot chick in person?
Oh, I was reading excerpts from East of Eden, and they all seem raptured by it. So I'm going to go with the first part.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, they get people always tell me that I'm getting calls like they're saying, Olivia, you're taking too long with each person. You have to like sign a move because people aren't getting to meet you. And
right.
But that's not really like meeting me if I just sign it and move on.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's why I end up staying there like way past like closing. And
is there one thing that most people end up asking you?
Like why? Like they're like, why are you like this with the fans? Even the fans are like, why are you like this with us? It's kind of, I think even they're like kind of freaked out. But I think it's only because I wouldn't have a book deal if it wasn't for, you know, the fans and people like you guys that are so supportive. So it's like kind of be a douche move to not sit there and sign the book.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that you'll probably make $1 million off of it, why'd
actually,
you want to write it?
That's
what?
Like, see, I got the deal in 2008, and so I got it. It was a good deal. Like, I was like, oh, that's good. But it wasn't, like, tons of money. And I spent most of it trying to find a ghostwriter, which in the end I just wrote the whole book myself. Because I was like, this is what they do in Hollywood. You get the book deal, and then they give you money, and then you use it to have somebody else do all the work. And then I realized, I was like, oh, crap. And you guys know me. I'm, like, I'm pretty, like, hands-on. So then I'm like, oh, let me rewrite all of this. And wait, let me just do it myself. And so I ended up writing it with this guy, Mac, who was great, who ended up just helping me structure the book and saying, we need this chapter, we need that chapter. So at the end, and I don't think that I have, like, big bonuses or anything like that.
So basically you got ripped off.
Yeah, basically. So why'd you want to write a book in the first place, though? I guess that was my question.
Because somebody said, do you want a book deal? And it was one of the things where you're like, oh, if somebody, how often does that happen? So I probably say yes.
Well, okay.
And then I regretted it, like, all the way through. I'm like, this is so hard to write a book. Books are hard.
Now, Kevin made reference to how lazy you are, and clearly he was joking because you're Seacrest. I mean, you've got, like, 8 jobs right now. How long till you dump G4? That's got to – I mean, you're barely on Attack of the Show anymore anyway. I know you were on a couple days this week, but at some point you're going to have to let something go, right, Olivia?
Well, you know, the biggest thing is that when I came at G4, I was there. My first contract was 3 years, and then I, you know, just re-signed again, earlier in the year, and so or last year, so it was always really important for me to be able to continue doing other stuff and pursue other dreams and just to try and see if I could do it. And so my intent was always, you know, stay at G4 basically until they say stop coming.
Right.
Olivia, give us your key and your badge, or just change the locks. So right now, I used to think that I could do everything, and I'm actually kind of hitting a wall. Like the other day,
I mean,
in New York, I went 8 p.m. to 1:30 a.m., and I literally just, I went to my hotel room and just slept forever. It's been hard.
Well, you could stay at G4 forever because you're on like once every 2 weeks.
That makes it easier.
Now tell me about The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, which is one of my favorite programs. How did that all come down?
That's like gold from the sky, like literally just gold dropping from the sky. I was in New York anyways for the upfronts for NBC, and my new show, Perfect Couples, just got picked up. And that was already so exciting because it's from the, you know, EP of Friends, the producer, writer of 30 Rock, the director of Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm. And then that was a show that Tina Fey, I had gotten really close on a role on 30 Rock, and she had told them about me. So they wrote the whole role with me in mind. So I was already...
Wow.
It came from that to getting the show picked up. And I was at NBC in New York, so excited. And then I get a call that Jon Stewart apparently got a video from a friend just saying, hey, isn't this funny? And watched it and thought, I think she's great. I want her on the show. And then asked his EP, Rory, and said, hey, we actually have the same agent. And they looked me up. And then they said, well, can she come? And then I was Monday at NBC show getting picked up. And then Wednesday, meeting with Jon Stewart and everybody at The Daily Show. And then Thursday, I got the offer. And then Friday, I just threw up all day long.
Wow, nice.
I was like, I can't believe this is happening to me.
So what kind of stuff are you going to be doing for them then? Interviews or what?
Usually catering.
She's the senior Asian correspondent.
Right.
I started off...
And the only one?
Yeah. Well, the senior Asian correspondent was kind of just an easy, great title to start off with.
Sure.
And then I was senior espionage correspondent the other day.
Oh, okay, good.
Nice.
Yes, I've got 2 titles.
So
and then
it's
I
whatever.
Went off into my first field piece. So the news dictates The Daily Show, so whatever's going on. And right now, my life kind of dictates it, too, because I'm going to be in L.A. for the NBC show. And then whenever I'm dark there, I go back to The Daily Show.
So how often will we see you on The Daily Show?
It's like, well, I know right now I won't be back until September because of my NBC schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully...
See, I could have lots of jobs, too, if I didn't do any of them. That'd be easy.
I'm also opening up the hair salon.
It is crazy how much you have going on. And I know that you would have come in if you'd been in town and had the time. But when you get back and have settled and gotten some sleep, we'd love to have you back into the studio because I haven't had a chance to read the book yet, and I want to, and then have you back in so we can discuss.
Oh, I'll be back. The last week of August is like my first time I actually can breathe, so I'd love to come back in then.
Yeah. Okay.
And hey, high five to everyone there. High five. Yay.
High five it is. Suck It, Wonder Woman, The Misadventures of a Hollywood Geek is the book from Olivia Munn in bookstores everywhere. See her on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart on the Comedy Central, Attack of the Show on G4, and coming to NBC this fall in Perfect Couples. I think that's enough going on. Olivia, go back to sleep, my dear. Thanks for coming on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Bye. Bye.
Joe Manganiello from True Blood joins us next on The Kevin and Bean Show in about 10 minutes. Also, Adam Carolla, The Week in Rage, straight ahead because it is Friday. Ralph's here now with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You realize it's been 10 years since Rage Against the Machine has played a concert here in their hometown of Los Angeles?
Yes, I do.
10 years.
No idea.
Kevin, was the last one the Olympic auditorium? Was that the last show they played? Yeah,
I think the last two, yeah.
Sometimes... Rage needs something to rage against in order to get them to play. Well, they got something. They are playing a concert to benefit Arizona organizations fighting SB 1070. For those of you who don't know, SB 1070 is the law that says, it's a Mexican, get him!
Is that how it's written?
That's how it's written, yeah. It's actually in their constitution.
And that's the entirety of the law. That's exactly all that's in it.
There's no real specifics. It's just,
it's a Mexican, get him.
They just encourage that being yelled. Followed by gunfire and or tasers. So, Rage Against the Machine
they are going to play a concert to benefit these organizations. It's going to happen here in Los Angeles. And it's going to be...
A week from Friday night.
A week from Friday
night.
A week from tonight.
Yep.
The Hollywood Palladium, July 23rd, 2010. All the proceeds will go to help those organizations. It's the Soundstrike Fund. And if you'd like to go, you can go to thesoundstrike.net for all the information. How you can get tickets and how to handle it all.
Monday at 10, I'm being told they go on sale for $50. That's the on sale and ticket price.
Damn it, man. Is there anything you don't know?
Well, just go to Bean if you need information. Just go to Bean at krock.com. He'll tell you how to get everything you need to get.
Thank you, buddy.
Speaking of giving away tickets.
Yes.
Thank you, Leo. Speaking of getting tickets, good conversation with Leo, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yes, very entertaining. I found him very sort of relaxed and forthcoming and practically downright jovial.
He doesn't have that I'm a huge movie star vibe.
No, he loves talking movies, though. You can tell. He's fascinated still by the process, even after all the movies he's made. Before I get to the showbiz news, I have tickets to give away, speaking of movies, to a film called Salt.
Yes.
Not just a screening, but the red carpet world premiere of Salt. How about that? Stars a young lady named Angelina Jolie.
Nice melons.
And I'm telling you, I'm doing a panel for Salt at the Comic-Con next weekend. And so they took me over at Sony Pictures yesterday and showed me a little advanced footage from Salt.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This movie will knock your socks off.
All right.
It really looks phenomenal. And much like Inception, there's a lot of practical stunts here. In the world of CGI that we live in, it's nice to see people actually jumping off of buildings and falling on trains and trucks, and she does some amazing stunt work in this film. Anyway, if you'd like to go to the red carpet world premiere, it's easy. Just call 1-800-520-1067. Call the number. The first five people to get through will get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere. It's at Grauman's Chinese Theater, and if you've ever been down there, you know that is that's the best place to see a premiere. That is real Hollywood right down there. At the Grauman's Chinese Theater by Hollywood.
Tasty, I'm in. Where do I get tickets?
I just told you, you call 1-800-520-1067. If you're not going to listen, Kip, I'm not going to answer your questions anymore.
But if you buy a ticket, sometimes you win a raffle.
No, that's not how it works. There's no raffle, and you're not buying these tickets, you're winning.
I'm very confused then.
Well, they finally scraped the bottom of the barrel enough to come up with some people to be in celebrity rehab that they're going to start filming.
Oh, yeah, because they postponed it because they didn't have enough.
They didn't have enough celebrities to rehab.
Right.
Trust me, they still don't have any celebrities to rehab.
Really?
Who do they have?
Although, before I hear your list, I'm going to tell you that some of the people I never thought I would care about, like Shifty from Crazy Town, end up being the most entertaining people on the show.
You're right. Now I really care about Shifty from Crazy Town.
Well, I'm just saying, just because they're not super famous celebrities doesn't mean they don't make good television.
Well, it doesn't mean the show is called People You Care About Rehab either, though. They're calling it Celebrity Rehab.
What are the celebrities?
Well, you've got Bonnie Pointer of the Pointer Sisters.
Celebrities.
You've got Jeremy London.
Oh, that's fantastic that he's on it.
I don't know.
Kevin, you remember he's the guy who said that he was kidnapped and forced to do drugs.
He's one of the London twins. He was on Party of Five, I guess was his biggest role.
Hmm. All right. Keep going.
The world's first supermodel, Janice Dickinson, will be there.
Yeah! Oh, really?
That's awesome.
By the way, she's
a
train wreck.
You know she's the world's first supermodel?
She will tell
you. Just ask her.
Yeah,
every opportunity.
She will tell you repeatedly.
It's like Rob Blagojevich saying Nina's not guilty. That's what Janice Dickinson does regarding the world's supermodel.
That makes me want to watch, though, because she's crazy.
She is well crazy, don't get me wrong. But I don't know. I'm not that excited.
All right.
Hey, great news. Brody Jenner wants another reality show.
All right. Let's give it to him.
He apparently is desperate to get back on television, and he's trying to talk his girlfriend, Avril Lavigne, into doing a show about them living together.
That is pathetic.
Hmm. Yeah.
Hey, you know how we live together? Let's just get some cameras. That sounds
great.
That's
what he's saying, according to PerezHilton.com, and she's not that crazy about cameras following her
around her
whole
life. Because she has an actual
career
and stuff.
She's got things to do.
Hell of a pitch.
So she might be uncomfortable with that, but we'll have to wait and see. This is great news. You know what a fan I am of House, the TV series on Fox with Hugh Laurie. Great casting news. Apparently, Amber Tamblyn has just been added to the cast.
Oh, I love
remember her.
Her
from Joan of Arcadia, of course, initially, and then she was on that show, The Unusuals, the cop show on ABC that didn't do so well, but I loved it with Jeremy Renner.
She's terrific.
Yeah, she's good.
She will play a brilliant medical student who will be joining House's
hospital team for a multi-episode story arc. So she'll be on for at least a while. Maybe not the whole season, but a big chunk of it. So looking forward to that.
Is she wearing the traveling pants, does it say?
Oh, my God.
What? F- she's one of the stars of...
You...
She's in the movie.
So hard.
And things continue to go well for Betty White. She just picked up a guest role on NBC's Community, starring our buddy Joel McHale next season. She will star in the season premiere of the show, playing a slightly unhinged anthropology professor. I'm laughing already.
She's so good.
These are like the hottest tits I've ever seen.
No, yeah, come on.
No,
Betty
not
White
her.
We're talking about
Oh,
here.
Sorry.
I don't know whether, I guess it was last week, but NBC did a marathon, a mini marathon of Community episodes, back-to-back-to-back-to-back episodes. I think it was last week.
Uh-huh.
When did we do that poker tournament? Was it the last,
last
Thursday?
Thursday, I want to say.
It was that night.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, that's a funny show.
It is.
That's a funny show.
I agree.
You should watch it, people. It's funny.
Would have been better spent time than both of us losing
How
a lot of money.
How dare you, sir? I want some money at blackjack.
You did?
There's Sam and Will Indian Bingo and Casino.
I lost more.
Man.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is Stuart Copeland of The Police is 58 years old today. You sound like you're gargling, really, when you do that.
Does.
It doesn't really even sound like
and he
the,
steps back,
like the
too.
Offensive, stereotypical sound you're trying to create.
He's gargling in the background.
I can't even defend the red man properly.
Correct. Michael Flatley is 52 years old today. Phoebe Cates is 47.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell celebrates his 43rd birthday. We'll see him next weekend down at Comic-Con. Corey Feldman is 39. Chris Pontius of Jackass celebrates his 36th birthday. And Annalyn McCord, she's a purdy.
Yeah.
Talented actress, 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
Kevin, you have to stop singing the theme from True Blood. You can't walk around all day long singing this song, okay?
I know
you're all caught up on the episodes now, but please stop singing this.
Love it.
Weird things. Alan Ball created this show, by the way.
Oh, he's great.
I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through.
This is the only part I know.
I want to do bad things with you.
Well, you are a famous country music fan, so I can see why you're taking that song so much. True Blood airs Sunday nights at 9 on the HBO, and it is bigger than ever here in its third season. We are very excited to welcome, I believe he's a werewolf on the show, actor Joe Manganiello joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. It's Manganiello.
Manganiello. I apologize. I was misinformed.
So you got the werewolf part right.
All right. I got that right. Now, you're a guy who's been acting for a few years now, but when you get the call for True Blood, that kicks it into a whole new gear, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, it's the hottest show on TV.
Had you been watching it before, or did you have to go back and catch up?
No, I was a huge fan. Actually, you know, a couple years ago, during the first season, a buddy of mine sent me a web link to this blog site where I guess, you know, the show was based on a series of books. All the fans were speculating as to who should play all of the characters from the books when they show up on the show, and fans were posting pictures of me.
Really?
Saying that I should play. There's this werewolf coming up in book three, which, you know, would coincide with season three, and that, you know, I should play him. And so I found out about the books and went and read them and made sure I didn't miss an episode. And, you know, here we are.
The star of the show is Anna Paquin. What did they say about that casting? Because that seems like a difficult role. And how do you cast somebody in that role?
How do you cast Anna?
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, she was, she pretty much, you know, went out against all of Hollywood. And I think she had something like, I want to say like 4 or 5 auditions to get the part. So,
she went after it.
Yeah, they were really, you know, critical about the part, and you know, but she got it, so I think she's great on it.
And this was such a hot property, as Kevin mentioned, because Alan Ball is the creator of it, and he's the guy who did 6 Feet Under, and he's done a bunch of other great TV and movies. I mean, the guy is just a genius.
Yeah, I mean, he's got that magic touch. Anything he touches is just, you know, it's really incredible, and especially, you know, how rich and, you know, the characters on the show are. Because, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, something about vampires and werewolves could be really stupid if you know, mishandled. But
yeah.
But it's great, and people love it. They're fanatical. The fans are wild about it.
It is a fine line to walk. You're absolutely right when you're dealing with fantasy like this to make it fantastic enough because it's vampires and werewolves, but also make it grounded enough that you really care about the characters. And that's where they do such a great job on True Blood.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of people mess up as far as, you know, supernatural shows go. I don't think there's enough attention paid, and I don't think people actually really get into it. I think they get into the novelty of, oh, that's a werewolf, that's a vampire. But
right.
But on this show, you really care about the characters, and as disgusting as they are, you know, as people, you still feel for them and you still like them.
Do you get a lot of people that come up to you with questions about the, you know, like the history of vampires and the history of werewolves and the way that they've interacted, you know, in the past? And in this particular one, you play a werewolf and you're fighting other werewolves that have vampire blood mixture, and it's all bizarre.
I usually don't get things, you know, that cerebral. It's usually people come up to me and say, how many hours do you spend in the makeup chair? And I'm like, no, it's not really like that, you know. or I get, you know, the funniest one lately is, you know, I've been on 2 episodes so far, and I have all these guys, like grown men, that come up to me and say, oh, you're on my wife's favorite show, yet I've only been in 2 episodes. You know exactly what I look like. So what are we talking about here, buddy?
Sounds like someone's got a gay crush.
Yeah, right.
This happens to me all the time, Joe, and I want to know if it's the same for you. People come up all the time and ask me to take my shirt off. They just want to look.
Yeah.
Is that the case with you as well?
I identify completely. You know, after we're done with this interview, man, we should compare notes.
That is
exactly.
That is one thing that every character on the show, including Anna Paquin, has to do.
Yes, exactly.
There's a lot of taking off of shirts. That happens a lot.
Yeah, I mean, and there really is, you know, like an initiation process, and you know, you're really not a part of the show until you've had to show up naked.
Now, what has been, if there's one, and I know you've shot some episodes we haven't seen yet, so what has been a moment where you've stood there and you looked around and you thought, I can't believe this is what I'm doing for work today. I can't believe this is really my job.
Standing naked in the middle of a field in broad daylight with a live wolf sitting 10 feet away from me.
There it is. Welcome to showbiz, ladies and gentlemen.
Was the live wolf eyeing your junk?
This is what I do for a living.
That is crazy. This is the voice of actor Joe Manganiello on the phone with us from True Blood, Sunday nights at 9 on HBO. Kevin, we have a clip. Is this an upcoming episode we have, or what?
No,
do we
this
have
is
here?
A clip from the last episode where he's protecting Sookie, who's the main character, played by Anna Paquin. And he is a werewolf, and he got shot by her, and she's trying to explain the world, you know, the things that are happening, and why he needs to be particularly careful because these are werewolves that have vampire blood, which are stronger than most.
I don't take it personally. The were you were fighting had vampire blood in him. Bales, in fact, so I know it's strong.
Werewolves doing V? Because against everything we stand for.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, like all the legend and stuff. Werewolves doing V, which is what they call vampire blood.
Oh, okay.
And it's, of course, True Blood is the name of the show, and that's because they can actually drink it like a beer. So they don't need to have to feed on humans anymore.
Good times.
It's such a great show, and you're now protecting Anna Paquin, and it must be. Are you on the whole entire season, or can you tell us that?
I mean, I'm on pretty much the rest of the season, and you know, my character, like I said, it's based on a series of books by this woman named Charlene Harris, and there's 10 books, and my character's in all the books.
Fantastic.
Which doesn't mean that, you know, you necessarily wind up on all the shows or all the seasons.
Right.
Because, you know, on this show, they keep the audience guessing. They kill people that survive the whole time in the books, and people that die in the books live, so they really keep the audience guessing.
Yeah.
One of the other bizarre things that I saw was, I think it was the first episode this year, at the beginning of it, they said, stay tuned right after True Blood for a tribute from Snoop Dogg. And I was like, what is that? What? And then after the episode, literally Snoop Dogg does a song and a video that you can see at kevinandbean.com right now about Sookie, the main character of this show.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
I've never seen that before.
How did that come about?
If you haven't seen it, you've got to check it out. You'll laugh out loud. It's hysterical.
It's at kevinandbean.com right now. You can check it out at the top. And it's just, did they go to Snoop or did he come to them and say he's a big fan? Do you have any idea?
You know, I'm not sure how it went, but, you know, I know that there are tons of fans of this show and lots of unlikely fans. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Snoop's idea.
It's so bizarre. Yeah. I rewound it. I was like, what? And then at the end, I watched it again. It was just, it's a bizarre thing to have a superstar like that do a song about a character in your TV show.
Yeah, and hysterical. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, it's fantastic.
True Blood, Sunday nights at 9 on HBO. Joe, thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin Beach Show, man. We enjoyed it.
Sure, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Couple of minutes away from Adam Carolla this week in Rage because it's Friday here on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, do we have time to handle an instant request for Kevin Amin listener here?
Yes, we do.
Listen up, everyone.
You instant.
Make a request.
Instant request. Kevin Amin.
Instant request.
Longtime listener and frequent emailer to the Kevin Amin Show, Vic Rattler, says, hey, I'd love to hear Sean Connery giving career advice to Mel Gibson. Any way you guys can make that happen? We thought about doing that, but then this morning on RadarOnline.com, Kevin, apparently it's already happened in real life.
Oh, no kidding.
We can't even do one of our wacky Ralph voice bits here because apparently the real conversation has already taken place between those two great actors, and apparently the tape has already been leaked, but we can at least present that for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello, Mel, it's Sean Connery. I just wanted to check in and see how you were doing.
You look like a bitch on heat, and if you get raped by a pack of it'll be your fault.
Whoa, whoa, hold on a second there, Braveheart, and I'll tell you if some rape me, it'll be the best piece of ass they've ever gotten.
I'm telling you. I'm just telling you the truth.
I know you are. That's one of the things I love most about you. You're very honest about your hatred for and Jews.
I don't like it.
Oh, I know. And I know you know how to handle a woman, too, with the back of your hand.
That's provocative.
It certainly is. Well, listen, Mel, I just wanted to say hi. I've got to go because, let's face it, I've got my own to smack up.
Don't hang up on me. I have plenty of energy to drive over there. You understand me?
I certainly do. That's a great idea. We can double. I'll take her in the and of course you can have her because I know you love the. Hand check. Are you working your lethal weapon, Mel?
You don't care.
I do care because it's creeping me right the out.
What? What?
I'm sorry, but I'm just not a fan of hearing other men.
I need a woman.
Well, I think that's painfully obvious.
You need a bat in the side of the head. All right, how about that?
And you need a golf club shoved up your c***. How about that?
You just showed me what you are.
You're right. I apologize, Mel. That was out of line. How can I make it up to you?
You should just smile and me, because I deserve it.
I don't know if you deserve it, Mel. I saw Edge of Darkness, and I think you're losing it.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, looking ahead toward next week, our man Ralph Garman is going to be at Geek Central broadcasting live from San Diego and Comic-Con next Thursday morning. The whole Kevin and Bean Show is going to be down there on Friday from Comic-Con, if you can believe that. And then if you're going down for the weekend, don't miss the San Diego House of Blues on Saturday night at 9 for Comic-Con weekend. The great Adam Carolla, ladies and gentlemen, bringing this hilarious onstage podcast. And Adam joins us every Friday for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Working at 3 and making our way down to number 1. First off, may have brought this up before, but you know, once in a while I repeat myself.
Sure.
It happened to me yesterday at my work, although my work is now my work. Like, I'm the man. Not the man, but at least I own the microwave that's in the mini kitchen. And somebody blew up a pepperoni hot pocket in there.
Oh.
And then I put my coffee in there to warm it up, and it tasted like pepperoni coffee. And I'm just saying, this has gone on too long. Like, the day somebody put the first microwave in the first kitchen at work, somebody dumped some, like, Chef Boyardee raviolis in there, and that was the end of it. What are we going to do to police this? How can we keep these microwaves from not smelling like everyone's ass in Hot Pockets? What can we do to bring some civility to the microwave at work? Like, and there's no way anyone would treat the microwave at home like they treat the microwave at work. They didn't even shut the door.
Yeah.
Old lady will get to it tomorrow. Is this, by the way, are you lazy or is it a subtle F you to everyone you work with?
Well, I don't know, but you're right that nobody is ever going to clean out a microwave after something explodes at work. It's just never going to happen as long as man lives on the earth.
I'm just saying, they got cameras everywhere at the workplace these days. How about a micro cam?
All right.
How about one inside the microwave where we can see the face of the maniac that blew up the SpaghettiOs before you came in there to heat up your herbal tea? That's the guy, and then I want him publicly caned in front of the entire group at the next company picnic.
I think that's a great idea.
Either way, somebody's got to police this because it's just horrific. And by the way, you want to talk about germs. You know, you open the bathroom door with your foot or with your sleeve. God knows what's crawling around inside that company microwave. Number two, the Guinness Book of World Records. It's philosophical, but think about it. Everybody you know who's like in our generation goes, oh, yeah, I remember that. That Indian dude with the real long mustache, and then that chick with the long fingernails, and the two twins on the Hondas, two fat guys, and a chick with the one skinny waist. And I realized, why do we all have this crappy black and white book memorized? And then I realized, oh, it's right. We had horrible childhoods. Because how else could you explain all of us memorizing a book that's filled with facts and figures and little postage-sized stamped black and white pictures printed on newspaper? I mean, if you think about it, would any kid today, do you think if I showed up to your average, like, 12-year-old today and said, do you know this book? He'd look at it, and then he'd club me over the head with it.
Correct.
And be like, hey, old man, I'm going back to playing Dragon Slayer, The Reckoning.
That's exactly what
would happen. Or being on the internet, which we didn't have then.
That's exactly what would happen.
On my 60-inch plasma. Your fat ass is blocking my 60-inch plasma. Get the F out of here. I mean, just think about that. And then I just thought, really, I'm adding it to my list if you've had a good childhood or not. It goes like this. Did you ride a Schwinn or did you ride a Huffy? Did you wear Levi's or did you wear Tuskins? And now I'm adding, if you have the Guinness Book of World Records memorized, you were abused.
Even a portion of it.
Even if you remember just three of the pictures in it, we're all abuse and we're all abuse victims, and we can sue our parents. All right.
Okay.
I was going to talk about Mel Gibson, but I figured that's effed out. I heard you guys bringing up Comic-Con. And you guys are going out to Comic-Con.
Yes.
And Ralph's going out there, and I'm going out to Comic-Con.
Right.
And I thought, what happened? Remember when we were making fun of these idiots four years ago?
I sure
ago?
Do. Oh, yeah. I sure. And Ralph never lets us forget that either.
You understand this is what happened with World War II, right? Not enough good people stood up in, like, 1937.
We're all just
goose-stepping down to San Diego now?
Adam, we weren't making fun of him 4 years ago. We were making fun of him last year.
Yeah.
I know. We need, this is their Kristallnacht. We've all just joined in and are blindly throwing bricks through the windows of Jewish front storefronts for no good reason. I don't know what we're doing there.
I do feel like what happened was the tide turned and it got so big that resistance was futile. Like, there's no way we've become the minority fighting against the comic book geeks who are now the majority in this country.
And then what do we do? Go over there and we can't make fun of them while we're there. We got to go over there and be like, what do you mean? I love Silver Surfer.
Pretty much.
I see us making fun of them as well.
I'm just saying, it is so sad and so hypocritical to see all of us who made fun of that convention for
so many
years. It'd just be like if we're a bunch of Baptist ministers and at a certain point we're like, well, I think we should go to Tailhook. Why not?
Nope, you're absolutely right. And Ralph is going to be down there, King of the Geeks, in his Green Hornet t-shirt. He's going to be doing nothing but mocking us for crashing his party. You're absolutely right, Ace.
Well, I say during the traffic-laden four-hour commute over there, we all think about our priorities and what got us to this place.
I think that's great advice. See Adam Carolla on stage in San Diego next weekend at the House of Blues, Saturday, July 24th. He's in town for Comic-Con. Upcoming dates include Tempe, Arizona, and Denver, Colorado. All the details on the live appearances and his many, many wonderful podcasts at adamcarolla.com. Have a great weekend, Ace. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
106.7, K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8:53.
Hey!
Oh, thank you, buddy.
Oh, Leo, throwing it around like that. I guess everybody's his buddy, it turns out. How about that? Ralph Garman sat down with Leonardo DiCaprio this week to talk about the new movie Inception. If you missed the interview early this morning, we've got it for you again next hour coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Stick around for that. Right now, time for the showbiz beat. What's happening, Ralph?
The film's so good. Inception is just so good. It really is maybe one of my top 10 films ever.
Mm. Wow. I hear it is the front runner. Of course, 2010 has not been a banner year for good movies, but it is the front runner for all the big Oscars already.
It harkens back to a time when blockbuster movies in America used to also be critical and artistic achievements.
Yeah, usually now it's separate.
Right. Now everyone goes to see Despicable Me, and then there's some art film that shows in eight screens.
Hurt Locker.
That goes to the Oscars and is the big buzz of the Oscars, but no one has seen it, and so no one cares. Christopher Nolan has an ability to combine the best of what makes a movie fun, the popcorn aspect of the film, and also add some serious qualities to it. You know, good writing and good characterizations and interesting plots. He did it with the Batman franchise, how he turned that franchise from a comic book movie into a movie that was about something and was, you know, a really good film. And this Inception, I think, is his best work to date. And Leonardo DiCaprio is great in it, and I did talk to him about it. And the thing I really liked, and we mentioned in the interview, you can hear in the next hour, is that Nolan's a big fan of practical stunts versus CGI stuff. So the actors in the movie, you see them in actual situations with things really happening on the screen as opposed to being done digitally afterwards. And that,
more believable?
Yeah, I think that is, for an audience, ups the stakes. You get more invested, more involved when you can't tell it's obviously something they did with a computer after the fact, you know? And I think that really adds to the excitement of this film. But I really
like it. Oh, thank you, buddy.
You're welcome, Leonardo DiCaprio. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? I want to give you the mention once again that Rage Against the Machine is playing a concert here in Los Angeles. Their first concert on their own in 10 years. Someone corrected me and said they played Rock the Bells, too, I guess.
Oh, correct,
more
yes.
Recently. So, but their first standalone
concert.
That
was Pepper Spray the Bells.
That was right.
We renamed that.
And that was also 65 miles away.
Yeah, that's true. This is happening at the Hollywood Palladium, right here in the heart of Los Angeles, July the 23rd, which is next...
It's a week from tonight. Next Friday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is all happening to support organizations that are combating the Arizona law SB 1070.
What was that again, Ralph?
It's the, hey, it's a Mexican, get him! It's that law. It's also known as the get him law. And they are raising money to fight against that law, of course, Rage Against the Machine. They like their causes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so if you'd like to get more information, you can go to thesoundstrike.net and get all the information you want to. Also, you can go to altoarizona.com, which is the website for the actual cause itself. So I think, Bean, you said, what, Monday they're going to sell the tickets?
Monday at 10. 50 bucks. That's right.
There you go. So go. Speaking of music, Vampire Weekend's being sued.
Why?
Sued for $2 million.
Dude.
TMZ.com says that the photo on the front cover of the band's new latest album, Contra, there's a model on that cover named Kirsten Kennis. That photo was taken in 1983. She claims she never signed a consent form to have that image used on that album cover. She's claiming someone forged her signature.
Odd.
She's blaming the photographer, Todd Brody, of faking her name on the release so that he could sell the photo.
Interesting.
Now, I remember she's coming back saying, I never agreed to this. What's up with that?
We had those guys in. I remember them telling us that they got that from a photographer, a photo from the 80s, and they just thought it was a captivating image, which it is. But I get the impression that the band was under the impression that it was legal and signed off on. That's for sure.
I think they were under that impression. But she is still suing them for $2 million. She must be really special if her picture is worth $2 million.
No kidding.
Yeah, I wonder how that hurt her, by the way.
I can't imagine.
I mean, the photo was 30 years ago. It's not like anybody's even recognizing her from that picture. I wonder what the downside has been for her to have her picture on there.
Maybe she's really fat now, and she feels bad that she has to be reminded how good she used to look.
Man, did I used to look good.
It's hard to face. Penelope Cruz and Javier Bardem, of course, are married. Now people are speculating, was it a shotgun wedding? Did they have to get married?
Because
Ms. Cruz is carrying a little Javi in her belly.
Nobody gets married because they're pregnant anymore.
You do if you're Hispanic and Catholic, my friends.
Okay, well, maybe so.
But she's saying it's not the case anyway, so don't worry about it.
That was the quickest you ever given into an argument, Dean.
She is currently filming Pirates of the Caribbean, doing a bunch of stunts, and she says via friends to E! Online, it's simply not the kind of movie you make if you're in a delicate condition, because it would be very physically demanding, and she wouldn't put herself at risk if she had a little baby in her tummy.
Sure. I may regret asking him, but Javier Bardem happens to be here in the studio with us, so let's find out from him if she's pregnant or not.
No, friendo.
All right, okay. Good.
Why do
I keep going back to that well?
Well, we don't know.
We don't know,
it's
really.
It's really not a well. It's like a shallow ditch at most.
That's been dried out. Hasn't had a drop of rain in 30 years.
Yeah. It's a standing pool that has
those mosquitoes that give you the West Nile in it. That's
I mean,
cool
we all
water.
Know that Javier not a man of many words. So.
Yeah. Too many words, I think, given the last couple times we've gone to that bit. I wish he had less words.
He was awesome on Glee. Come on.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a good. Mel Gibson doesn't have a lot of friends right now, but at least he's working.
What?
He had to go back to reshoot some scenes for the beaver.
He said shooting the beaver.
I love that his next movie is called The Beaver. I love that.
The story, of course, is about a man who can only relate to people through the hand puppet of a beaver that he keeps on his arm at all times.
Nice beaver.
Really?
Jodie Foster directs, and there need to be some reshoots, so he's back on the set. Meanwhile, the New York Post talked to some of the people who were working on the set, and they said the work environment was at best awkward, and it's the weirdest set ever.
Can you imagine?
Given the tension of what he's going through publicly to have to go back to work and face all the Teamsters and other actors and stuff.
They must be scared to death of him, too. Like, he snapped. He was crazy. What's he going to do?
Yeah, you got to be walking on eggshells, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to mess with that guy.
These gentlemen are here to talk about Beaver.
Hey, Gene Simmons is here.
You're telling me
did
the movie...
Did you run into Javier Bardem in the hallway when you were coming in?
I'm a big fan of his. Handsome and powerful man. Good. You're telling me that the movie's about a puppet, a beaver puppet.
That's right.
A man puts his hand in the beaver to get it to work. You're telling me that he puts his hand all the way inside the beaver.
That's right. The beaver puppet has to be worn with the hand all the way inside it. Yes.
All right.
Okay. Have we cleared that up for you, Gene? Gene's confused by the hand puppet concept.
Yes, he is.
I'm surprised Kiss doesn't have a hand. There must be a Kiss hand puppets, right?
Has to be.
Must
yeah.
be a, you know, Gene and Paul and Ringo and
Ringo and Kiss.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Stuart Copeland, legendary drummer of The Police, is 58 years old. Today, dancer Michael Flatley. He was the Lord of the Dance, you know.
Yes, he was.
Sure was.
That dude made like $1 billion.
Well, he franchised that show, and it's done all over the world now. Not with him. He sits his fat ass down in a reclining chair outside his Winnebago in Vegas. He's probably got better than a Winnebago.
Probably.
That's a double wide. But he's doing very well for himself. 52. Phoebe Cates, of course, star of Fast Times at Ridgemont High and other motion pictures, is 47. Buddy Will Ferrell is 43, Corey Feldman is 39, and Chris Pontius from Jackass celebrates his 36th birthday. Annalyn McCord celebrates her 23rd. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz.
Right now, though, it's our annual chat with the greatest American volleyball player of all time, Kevin. Happy to welcome back to the show Misty May Traynor, who joins us, talking about the AVP Nivea Tour Hermosa Beach Open happening this weekend. Misty, how are you, my dear?
Good. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Great to talk to you. Misty May Traynor, by the way, has won 106 volleyball matches.
That's it?
The most tournaments of female player in history. Crazy, crazy numbers there, and you're back at it again this weekend. How are you feeling heading into the big AVP this weekend?
I am. I'm feeling great. Definitely got to hydrate looking at the weather report because the temperatures that we're going to hit the beach in this weekend. But,
yeah, it is going to be 175 degrees.
I know. I'm gonna have to mentally prepare, like, okay, how am I going to overcome this heat?
Yeah.
Make sure I got cold towels.
Yeah.
You got to wrap cold towels around your feet is what you're going to have to do.
Oh, pretty much around everything.
Yeah.
So is it still, I mean, someone like you who is a legend in the sport and has done it all and has won every tournament and won the gold medals in those Olympics and everything like that, is it still a thrill for you to play in an event like this weekend? Are you still able to get up for it?
I think, you know, it definitely is. Because when you step on the sand, everybody's gunning for you. I have a new partner this year, Nicole Brana, and it's been exciting, you know, getting to know her on and off the court. And I think we've been doing well. But Hermosa has such a history, you know, just like Manhattan and a lot of the California beaches, that it's fun to go back to where the greatest played.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up your new partner, because I was interested how something like that works, because you had such a long and successful relationship, you know, with your last partner, you know, that you won the gold medals with and stuff. And then how do you go about finding somebody new when she gets knocked up and won't play with you anymore?
It's you know, you just kind of ask around. That's how it works. You kind of see who's available, and you put your name out there, and either they say yes or no.
Didn't you get injured in Dancing with the Stars or something? Didn't you hurt?
I did. I tore my Achilles.
Ooh.
And, but I, you know, I'm actually headed to jump training right now. But I feel good. Still working on the strength, but I would love to get back on the dance floor.
Do Do the other players give you a hard time for doing, you know, your entire life has been so athletic, and then you hurt yourself trying to dance?
I don't know about that, but the fans are like, you're in great shape. What happened? Like, I have no idea. No, my body said it's tired.
Yeah.
You know what I say? It's not easy getting old, you know?
Sure. It is so bizarre how you can, even as a professional athlete in such great shape, you can freakishly hurt yourself in a way that you never would have expected. I mean, the last thing you thought is you were going to get hurt going on to that show.
Yeah, and the last thing, this injury, I'm like, could it have been anything else, like meniscus in the knee or anything else would have been absolutely fabulous. But, you know, but I have a newfound respect for dancing.
Yeah.
So I watched on TV, and it's very difficult. You got to be in tremendous shape.
Yeah, that's one of those. That is one of those things where I watch and I go, it doesn't look that hard. But then exactly. I would never be able to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I had a hard time just trying to do the facial expressions and look like elegant.
Exactly. This is the voice of Misty May Traynor on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, we're talking about the AVP Nivea Tour Hermosa Beach Open, which is happening this weekend on the north side of the pier. One of the biggest events in your sport all year long. How many people will they expect? I know it's going to be unusually hot, but how many people will come down there this weekend at Hermosa and watch you guys?
I mean, every year it's been down there. The center court has been packed. Thousands of people cruise by because you have the board, you have the bike path right there. So even people that aren't expecting to come down to the beach to watch volleyball.
Right.
And by saying, I wonder what's going on over there. There's a lot of music, a lot of free handouts.
And they
get hooked.
Yep. We're starting to lose you. You're cutting out a little bit.
So we'll wrap it up. Come on down for the bikinis. Stay for the volleyball. Hermosa Beach all weekend long. Misty May Traynor, always great to catch up with you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good luck to you this weekend, all right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just impressed that Ralph will still talk to us now that he's, you know, hanging with the Leo crowd. I just can't believe he's got time for the little people like Kevin and Bean anymore.
The thing Leo has taught me in our friendship is
had a friendship.
To be humble and modest and keep those people you knew on your way up, keep them as friends. Because if you start cutting those ties,
you talk to him on the phone for 4 minutes.
Eventually it will come back to haunt you. And he always tells me when we go to the Lakers game.
He doesn't always tell you anything.
When we're
you
the
don't
Lakers
go
games,
to the Lakers games.
He says to me, be careful who you step on the way up. Because you'll see those same people on the way down, man. And okay. I say, that's a good point, Leo. Pass me another nacho.
All right. So Ralph's gone bye-bye. All time right. For the showbiz beat now on a Friday. What's happening?
Oh, I'm super excited. I just saw the list of exclusive Comic-Con toys they're going to have at the convention this year.
Yeah.
Mattel has made a replica of the Brave and the Bold cover, number 28, you know, the first appearance of the Justice League of America.
Oh,
they have
so
recreated
great.
That in action figure form.
Are you kidding?
So you get, you know, Martian Manhunter, you get Wonder Woman, you get Aquaman, you get the Green Lantern. You get the Flash, but they're also giving you an 8-inch size Starro, the starfish from outer space, Starro the Conqueror, their first villain that they fought. How cool is that?
You know what we should do? We should start another feature called the Showbiz Beat, and then we should separate it from the sci-fi beat.
I like it.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying.
And by separate, you mean have me do it in the parking lot?
Yes.
Just saying. I'm looking forward to Comic-Con.
Don't embarrass me.
I'm looking forward to Comic-Con. That's all I'm saying. It's the best time of year, Kevin. It's like Christmas.
I know.
It's geek Christmas.
Oh, you don't have to tell me.
When you're there.
Ralph certainly has a lot of imagination.
He does.
This is your first Comic-Con, isn't
it? It is, yes.
I'm going to take you by the hand. I'm going to show you how it's done.
I would rather that didn't happen because it sounds sexual.
I'm going to treat you. I'm going to pop your Comic-Con cherry.
No, I would rather that didn't happen.
And I'm going to show you how much fun it can be.
Yeah, no.
How many girls in Wonder Woman outfits am I going to see?
Oh, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see that. And then you're going to see a lot of Leahs in slave bikinis.
That's Bean's dream.
Okay. All right. And I'm already Jabba the Hutt, so they'll like me.
You can put a chain around them and hold them close.
Okay, good.
You see a lot of silk specters from the Watchmen. That's always a very popular costume down there.
Now, are these girls that should be wearing those costumes?
Yes, they are. Okay. Surprisingly. I know you're going to find it hard to believe, but you'll see it for yourself when you're down there.
That's great to hear.
It's going to be good stuff. Speaking of chicks I'd like to see in a Wonder Woman outfit, Taylor Momsen in the news.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. She has been handpicked by Madonna to be the face of Material Girl, Madonna's new clothing line.
Why so soon?
Why break out that Material Girl trademark now?
Yeah.
So Taylor's going to be in a bunch of ads for Madonna's new clothing line. That's good for her, right?
All right, sure.
Yeah. John Stamos, he's got to be happy today. I mentioned yesterday that Allison Koss, that woman who was trying to extort him.
Yes.
Was going into court yesterday, and it turns out she was convicted of conspiracy and threatening his reputation via email in a Michigan court yesterday.
Email's the way to do it. If you're going to break the law, do it in email so that there's a hard copy.
Yeah, make sure you leave a big paper trail.
That's a good way to do it.
Allison and her co-conspirator, Scott Cipolla, were both convicted yesterday, and they could face up to 5 years in jail.
Dude.
For their behavior. So watch it before you start making accusations to people and demanding money.
Lady Lawyer!
When's she going in jail? Next Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah. She's got a new lawyer, Robert Shapiro.
She changes every day.
OJ's attorney.
Really?
I thought he was dead.
No, that's Kardashian.
Oh, okay.
Shapiro is representing her. No coincidence that it was his facility, Pickford Lofts, is the sober house that she is living in currently. Shapiro started that house in honor of his son who died of a drug overdose.
Oh,
so
wow.
He is the main founder behind that facility. She is currently in there, and it is expected that Shapiro will use this fact that she turned herself into a protected drug facility to try to appeal Lindsay's sentence.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong again, Ralph, but it seems like the sentence was given. It's done. The next step is
nothing's
for her to
go. Nothing's done until it's done, man.
So they can go back in and
you
just
can appeal all the way up until the first day that she has to go in.
I don't know how seriously she's taking it if she checks herself into a facility that you're allowed to leave during the day if you want and come back.
Well, how are you supposed to score drugs, Bean, if you can't leave? What's wrong with you? Are you not thinking this through?
To me, though, that's not, hey, help me. That's, hey, give the appearance of helping me.
How are you going to find a six-pack of Zima at 3 in the afternoon unless you can leave the facility?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Anybody still drinking Zima?
No.
I don't think so.
So.
I
recognize it.
Alex Rodriguez.
Ooh!
Famous Yankee is, of course, currently dating Cameron Diaz, and apparently Cameron is filling his pointy little head full of all kinds of thoughts about being a leading man in the movies.
Yes.
Cameron believes he's got what it takes to be a big star, and she's encouraging him to venture into movies. Apparently Tom Cruise has already met with A-Rod to discuss his future, and according to AbsoluteNow.com, the entertainment news website, he thinks he possesses the talent and charisma to become the next Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Is that what
you
mean?
He's that good an actor?
Is that what you want to be?
Good an actor.
He's just, there's something, look, I kind of have a grudge against A-Rod anyway because I think he's such a dick. But he's so metrosexual. He's so Ryan Seacrest-esque. I mean, I guess that's good for some things, but I certainly can't see him playing a character. I can't see him convincingly being an actor.
Like losing himself in the role?
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Well,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Not all actors do that. I mean, a lot of them are just themselves in every movie that you go to see over and over.
True.
Again, especially
but
if it's an action
he's
star.
Not particularly charismatic. I mean,
he's
not
at all buff either, by the way. He doesn't strike
no,
me
he's
as
pretty
like,
big. And
you see those photos of him sunbathing topless in Central Park? They had to make a big deal out of because his shirt was off. He didn't look all kind of ripped up and whatnot.
He has soft boobies, but he is, I mean, he's a big guy. Big and like hulking in proportion.
You date him.
He's also like a zero. Don't you agree, Bean? Like as far as like
absolutely and he's the kind of guy who wears lip gloss and has frosted tips, you know. I mean, he's
a green pleather jacket, that guy. You're saying
producer Alex just said that Cristiano Ronaldo thinks he's gay. That's how far gone A-Rod is.
So you're saying drop the zero and get with a hero, is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that, but you can draw that conclusion from my remarks. Yes.
All right. And another day, another cruddy reality show in the news. Apparently this one goes to Mario Lopez.
All right.
And the woman he won't marry who is having his baby, Courtney Maza, they have signed a deal with VH1.
We sure aren't going to get married.
To do a series on Mario's upcoming life changes with having a baby.
So first the puppy, now the baby.
Well,
the
puppy did a 6-month puppy
I'd rather watch a series about the puppy hunt, really, than watch him have a baby, which, trust me, people do every day.
Is this one of those deals where just no one ever tells him that everything about his life isn't interesting?
Apparently. You know? Well, not if VH1's going to write him a big check so they can make a TV show about it. Yeah. How can you blame the guy? Of course he thinks he's interesting. People keep writing him checks.
Huh.
When is I going to stop saying, all right, Scott Baio, Mario Lopez, we don't care about whether you're married or not and if you're having a child. VH1 needs to come up with some ideas for some shows over there. I think they're desperate.
Well, I mean, the funny thing is they dropped some of their best ones. Like we were talking about,
right.
The Surreal Life
the Surreal
was
Life?
Awesome.
Put Mario Lopez in the Surreal Life house with Eric Estrada
now we're
and
in.
Carrot Top, and now I'm watching. What I want to see is what, or woman he won't marry have his baby? All right.
Sure is going to be different for him.
It sure is.
Tell you that.
I'll tell you, your whole life will change when you have a kid. Changes your whole life. That's what I understand. I just hope he's good with him.
Is there a new perspective,
good with that
Rob?
Baby.
New perspective on stuff?
Oh, you change. Your whole changes your whole life, Mike. Tell you, when you have a baby, your whole life changes. I'll tell you something. Say goodbye to a good night's sleep.
What?
Yeah. Say goodbye to a good night's sleep.
These are all the things that Ralph heard before he had kids.
And these effing cliches.
A million times.
All right, people.
They're all true, but
it'll change your
life,
having a kid, you know? Really? My life won't be exactly the same. I won't be out boozing until 4 o'clock in the morning. Wife and I just picking up and going to Vegas whenever we want it. We can't do that with a child? Huh? Someone should have mentioned that. Douchebags.
So it's not a shock is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday, Stuart Copeland of The Police is 58 years old today. Michael Flatley is 52. Phoebe Cates.
Yeah.
Is 47 years old.
Maybe perhaps the most iconic topless scene in cinema history. Wouldn't you guys agree?
I think
yes.
So, yeah.
Sure was
coming
me.
Out of the pool, Fast Times at Ridgemont
sure
High. Never gets
me.
Old.
Judge Reinhold.
Just, that's right.
Just,
we know.
Just watching her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Enjoying it.
Will Ferrell is 43 years old today. Will's going to be at Comic-Con.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Talking about his new movie, The Other Guys, with Mark
Wahlberg. Not because he wants to, though, but because he has to.
No, he loves
That's
it.
That's the difference.
I promise you, he loves it.
He's going to be there the same reason I'm going to be there. Contractual obligation.
Oh, man.
Why are you so negative?
Corey Feldman is 39 years old today. He probably won't be there.
No.
Or if he's there, they probably won't let him in. And Chris Pontius from Jackass turns 36. Anna Lynn McCord is 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. Have a great weekend, everybody. I welcome
thank
show
you, buddy.
Thank you, Leo.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on Monday. We've got a brand new program for you. We have a Kevin and Bean listener who wants to get a... He has a bad decision he's making. He wants to get a tattoo of Ralph's face.
Well, it's not a bad decision because it's me.
It's a bad decision. Well, yes, it is.
He wants to put me next to a Zapata and Che Guevara.
Because you're another great Mexican revolutionary?
As someone who does it all for the little man.
Sure, that's you.
Wait, right, I don't like the tone of this whole thing.
I'm just saying.
How are you getting on this guy's body before Cesar Chavez, by the way?
He seems like
his priorities are
one.
Out of whack.
That's question number one. So we'll talk to him. We also have Marilyn Rice
Cup. Room for a beret. That's the problem.
We have Marilyn Rice Cup on the program on Monday, talking about Marilyn spreads her legs.
Yeah.
We have Harvey Levin from TMZ, and is the Taliban really training monkeys to attack? Are they really assimilating an army of monkeys? Is that happening? We'll find out on Monday's Kevin and Bean Show. Have a great weekend.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Where would we be without the Snoop Man?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Where's my golden shower?
Roll another one.
Merry Christmas, motherfuckers.
Just like the other one.
Language.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Come on,
I need another hit.
Kevin, I just want to let you know that you are wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. R-O-N-G, wrong.
Oh, thank you, buddy. Nope.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Right there, man.
This one seems to be out to end.
Woo! I don't have another cent.
Get me Steven Spielberg.
He's unavailable.
Then get me his non-union Mexican equivalent.
This is not a party atmosphere at all.
Just pass it around.
Bass, how low can you go?
Oh, thank you, buddy.
I just pass it on.
Now I say hello, you say goodbye. Hello.
Goodbye.
Now that's well-performed comedy.
Well, I think we know the results of the sound check. Did it sound horrible? Check.
What are you doing?
Just giving things a finale vibe.
Well, how's this for a finale vibe?
You know what I want you to do?
Yeah?
Go home, have a little lunch, lay down.
Lay down.
And then go fuck yourself. I'm done.
Don't you dare hang up on me.
I can't listen to this anymore.